This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Good evening and welcome. It's that time of week again. It's Monday night. It's time to look back on what's been a busy weekend of rugby league. It's all doom and gloom for the Castleford Tigers. Having been told all last season, don't matter how you start, lads, it's how you finish. They lose on day one and everyone's writing them off. What's going wrong? What happened to the Tigers? And are the Saints going to Old Trafford? They've laid down a marker. That's according to the paper. I think they did that pretty well. Also, markers laid down by the Widnes Vikings, who were superb yesterday against the Dragons. Scoey talks constantly about young halfbacks. Well, Tom Gilmore had a pretty impressive afternoon yesterday. Bossed Mr. Walsh, his highly paid opposite number of the Catalan Dragons. Big win for them, big win for Wakefield. Worrying, I think, for Hull Kingston Rovers. Wakey didn't get out of second gear. Tom Johnson did, though. Three tries for him. Could have been five, if truth be told. He was fantastic. Liam Finn was fantastic. Wakefield carry on where they left off in 2017. Big win for Wigan over, I'm going to call them, the crisis club Salford. I think they're in for a long, old season as well. The Giants brushed aside at Hull FC. Hull go to play Wigan in Australia. They're both down there now. What are your thoughts on that tonight? You can get in touch, as ever, at RL on RY. Who've I missed off? I've missed someone off, I'm sure. Anyway, if I have, I apologise. What about Lee? Beaten, battered by their former team, the Toronto Wolfpack. We'll talk about that as well. Whatever you want to get in touch about, at RL on RY, if you want to get in touch, you're more than welcome. The legend is here. Phil Kaplan, editor of 4020 Magazine, is here. And Richard is currently busy on the internet booking the open-top bus for Wakefield's grand final win in at the end of the season. This is Rugby League on Radio Rugby.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Well, that's half my match fee gone. We got the intro wrong.
We're changing the name of the programme as well, and it's called something I can't remember. It's either Proper Sport Rugby League or Proper Rugby League
or something.
Yeah. This programme's never really had a proper name.
No, it's just Rugby League.
It's the Rugby League programme.
Just call it the Legend Talk Sense.
It's the Rugby League programme that's not on when there's games being played.
Well done.
It's a good idea.
Well done.
Mr. Wilson, I've been looking forward all weekend to come into this studio because, if I remember last week, fellas, Mark wrote down, you know, the score lines, what clubs was going to win by last week. And you know what? I think the three of you laughed at me when I mentioned Saints are going to win by 20, Wakefield's going to win by 20, Hull's going to win by 18. Went far off with Leeds. I said six, but they just got beat by four from there. Got it wrong with Widnes and Catalans, but the rest of them, from a point of view, Hull, I said by 18 from there. So I'll tell you what, one thing for sure, some sides have put a marker down. I'll tell you what, Mark Wilson and Phil Kaplan are pretty sure, right?
No.
The Legends put a marker down.
Straight away.
Legend, five out of six.
Yeah, five out of six.
I certainly got five
out of six. I think somebody might have got six out of six.
The point what I'm making
who
is...
Who was that, you, Phil?
Hold on, modesty for me.
The point what I'm saying is my score lines. 20, Cass won't get by 20. Hull won't win by that. Wakefield won't win by that.
Shut up. I've got some important business to discuss anyway. Firstly, I better get the name of the station right. Proper Sport, forgive me. I think I might have even said the wrong Twitter handle. It's at RL on RY still. We are still here.
We haven't changed that.
We're live on Facebook. We haven't changed that because we refuse to sell. Yeah. That's why we refuse to sell. But, you know, given your popularity even with the old mushy peas, etc., I can tell you, I'm proud to tell you that today's episode of Proper Sport Rugby League is brought to you by Bachelor's Peas, the UK's and Scoey's favourite brand of canned peas. Bachelor's Peas are the perfect accompaniment for matchday meals, a great way to get one of your five a day and have action-packed season of special offers ahead. Signed shirts, tickets to the Magic Weekend, the Grand Final and international games as well. And brand new for 2018 is an unmissable promotion on packs of Bachelor's Original Mushy, Chip Shop Mushy and Marrow Fat Bigger Peas from this month. until the 1st of June. Fans can win a trip to Toronto in Canada to watch the Wolfpack and get £1,000 spending money this week to celebrate teaming up with Super League for the third straight year. Bachelors are giving fans a chance to win a signed Castleford shirt and four tickets to watch the Tigers play Hull FC on the 24th of February. To enter, head to propersport.uk/win and answer the very simple question. So that's propersport.uk/win and answer the very simple question. Competition closes 6 p.m. Sunday the 11th of February, and I've got some bad news, legend. You can't win the trip to Canada. I don't think there's any rules that say that. I'm saying you can't.
I'll tell you what, I like the peas. I could do 6 cans a day of peas. Love them. Absolute love them. I can do the... Yeah, please, can you just send... What, six times seven, 42. 42. 42 cans of peas every week, bachelors, and the legend will be eating them, I'll tell you.
All right.
Lovely.
Very good. Yeah, so there you go. So thanks to bachelors.
If you have 6 cans of peas in a day, we're in another room, that's for sure.
I've been in another county, if I'm honest. Right, let's talk rugby league then.
Right, guys, I want to bring up just this subject here now, because when we look at the greatest game of all, right, and now we've seen some quality youngsters come through, haven't we? What we've seen this weekend, certainly Danny Richardson, young Jack Walker, young Tom Johnson doing his best. I just want to read it. I just want to read out the tweet yesterday from Derek Bowman, because I'm intrigued, because one thing for sure as well, and it's like, we all kiss the Rovers signing Danny Tickle, and the subject I want to talk about is too many journeymen. Right, so from Derek Bowman yesterday with this: today is the first time, at least, I've ever fielded 17 players in the championship made up of entirely of NRL and Super League players. Combined, our team today has made 1,236 Super League appearances, 367 NRL and 26 internationals, and has an average age of 26. It's a day to be at the Leeds Sports Village Stadium. Well, what I would say about that, Derek, is quite simple. They're all journeymen. You look at your result yesterday. How many league players were in that Toronto players? Really, see, from a point of view, if you ask them, did they want to leave Lee? No, they didn't. If you ask young Ridgeyard at Featherstone, by the way, Mark Campbell's absolutely delighted he's got Richardson there at Featherstone.
Ridgeyard, even.
Ridgeyard, I should say, sorry. Richardson, I've got him on my brain from St. Tellinson. And I'd say, with Ulkins to Rovers, surely, over in Hull, surely there's a youngster, 19, 20, 21, 22, want to put on an Ulkiard jersey. And I say the side, Danny Tickle. Yeah, Danny's been a good player. He's been a good player. But he's a journeyman. What is he going to bring to Ulkester Rovers? So my question is, fellas, from a point of view, journeymen, too many journeymen, and not enough quality.
I think that's the kind of tweet that probably comes back to haunt you when you've lost at home by 34 points to 12. Started well, Lee. Looked like they were the proverbial house on fire, but to concede 34 unanswered points...
It's indiscipline again, by all accounts.
...predominantly to a lot of players that they've let go. I'm sure we'll read far too much into round one of results, but for me, that is the result of the week that...
Phil, we can't read too much into round one results.
You can't. So do we all... We'll go back to round, 3-4 last year, and yeah, read exactly. Back into Leeds losing 66-10?
Yeah.
Made no difference at all, Gary. You're talking rubbish.
Leeds are a different animal, because we all know experience what they've got.
Yeah, they're different.
Okay, we'll see.
You can make some generalisations after round one. St Helens deservedly start the season as favourites and prove it in the first round. But we're the first to say there's a long, long way to go. You don't peak in round one. We thought that if Widnes steered clear of injury, well, I say we, all but one of us thought that if they steered clear of injury, they would have a chance of playing in a slightly different attacking style this year, partly down to having Francis Cummins run their free season.
Hold on, the four of us said Widnes would be in the bottom four, Phil.
No, but some of us said they wouldn't be bottom. That actually if they
stayed... Yeah, finished bottom, yeah, but all four of us have stayed injury. They were second bottom.
They were impressive yesterday. It doesn't mean that they're going to finish in the top eight all of a sudden, but what it does mean is that they've changed the way they play this year to how they looked last year. Wigan as well, I think, you know, all right, they were playing at Salford, but a lot of question marks about how were Wigan going to change their style of attack. They didn't score enough points last year. Well, you know, I think they having Escarray back, moving Tompkins to the halves, they had variation. They did move the ball wide. I think Liam Marshall was involved in a couple of real quality tries. I think you can just point to things like that after week one, but you can't say that the league table as it stands now is going to be representative of what it is in 29 weeks' time.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that also as well. One point I'm going to say it as well, Phil Capon, because we've had this debate quite a few times now regarding Mark Percival, right? You like Wayne Bennett as the England coach. You still want Wayne Bennett to be the England coach.
I can see some benefits.
Hold on, Phil. Hold on, Phil. I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance. Mark Percival is a quality centre. Wayne Bennett left, Michael Shenton should have gone. It took Percival twice, 12,000 miles. Didn't pick him in the mid-season test. And then last year we know exactly what he did in the World Cup, played Bateman in the centre. Now then, Percival, with that display in the centre, and bearing in mind he was playing against Michael Shenton, surely, Phil, surely you cannot defend Wayne Bennett anymore by leaving Mark Percival out of the World Cup squad.
I don't need to defend Wayne Bennett, because Wayne Bennett picked the side that he thought would win the World Cup, and it very nearly did. It may well be that Mark Percival has benefited from being in the England camp.
Rubbish,
and the form
Phil,
that
rubbish,
he showed
rubbish.
This week
he's
was
quality,
having
he,
had
he, he, he's
six
a quality
weeks
player.
In
he's an international centre. He hasn't got better because he's been in the England squad. He should have been there from the start off.
I think he will have got better by being around those players on
rubbish.
A day-to-day basis.
Rubbish.
And the
rubbish.
Great thing is that he's thrown his hat in the ring from week one to say, I want to prove you wrong. But I'm not sure we get too far by saying he would have changed the World Cup final. I'm not sure that he would have done. But I do know that the way he played this week, he is exactly the sort of person that we need to be pressing his claims the next time in England squad.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ryan Hall, as we all know, is a quality, one of the world's best wingers. He would have been far better with Percival aside of him. He would have been far happier.
I suspect that Wayne Bennett wanted to win the World Cup and pick the team he thought could do it. I do think that Mark Percival had a fantastic performance on Friday night. I don't know if that is as a result of Mark Percival being at the absolute peak of his fitness through being in the England camp for 6 weeks. And maybe it has focused him. Maybe he has realised, or been told, perhaps by Wayne Bennett, of all people, what he needs to do to be at the very, very top of his game. And we perhaps saw a bit of that on Friday night.
I'm getting the feeling here, Phil, you're not a Percival fan, are you?
I love him. I think he's brilliant. But we all know, you better than anybody in this room, that there is a huge step up from club rugby to international rugby.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing for sure here now, we've not heard the decision. It was supposed to be end of January, wasn't it, that Bennett was going to decide if he's going to keep the England job or whatever. One thing for sure here now, I'm hoping Bennett, from a point of view where, first of all, he should get the job anyway, because he was brought in to bring the World Cup. He didn't. He failed. It's all right saying, well, yeah, ankle tap away or 6 points away. In 92, we were only 4 points away from winning the World Cup. So I don't buy into that. Secondly, he didn't get the best out of the Man of Steel last year in Luke Gayle. And thirdly, picking Bateman in the centre instead of Percival, that alone should say he doesn't have the job anymore, and a British coach should be brought in.
Who's making the decision? Because I think we were told it was relatively imminent, and so was the staging of a test match in Denver.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Let's talk about on-field.
I want to talk about the good stuff. I want to talk about
winners. Mark, I'm talking about the good stuff here. Mark Percival, scored a hat-trick, but I just want, again, to get Phil a debate from a point of view, because he doesn't rate Mark Percival.
I didn't say that.
Never said that at all.
This is my opinion.
Well,
I don't think he rates Percival. He's back in Wayne Bennett's choice of not picking him. That's all I'm asking.
I do.
And Percival showed on Friday what a quality international centre he is.
You know, if Phil had turned around and said, you know what, he might have got it wrong, right? Would England have won the World Cup? No, it's gone. Let it go. Yeah? Don't blame Phil Ladd, because you didn't get picked in the, what is it? He didn't pick him. I can't do all about it. All right?
Don't defend him. Phil defends him. I'm not having a debate with you. I'm having a debate with Phil Kaplan. He's wrong. Move on.
Well, so be it. You think he is.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
We weren't inside the camp day in, day out either.
No. Anyway, I want to talk about Widnes. Because I was there yesterday and they were fantastic.
Good.
I'll tell you what. We've got a poll running on Twitter. Rich will dig up the results in a minute. Who had the worst? Who should be more worried after week one? We put the Castleford Tigers on there, tongue in cheek. We put Lee on there, we put Salford on there, and we put the Catalan Dragons, and the Dragons, Rich, have had quite a lot of the vote.
50%! Then Cast, then Salford, then Lee at the bottom.
12-all at half-time yesterday. Widnes dominated the game at the start, got in front, and Catalan hit him with a couple of good tries. They hit back level at 12-all at the half-time, and then for 10 to 10 minutes at the start of the second half, Widnes played like I've expected Leeds to play in a grand final. They completed, they kicked well, they were tough, they didn't miss a tackle, and all of a sudden they got a breakthrough, and that were it. The floodgates opened. Ill discipline from the Dragons, But I tell you what, Widnes played well. I've never seen Tom Gilmore play that well. Mm. Mellor was outstanding. Chris Houston, that is one of the best forward performances I've seen. Every time he drove it in, he got 15 yards. He tackled anything that moved. I was with that Endo yesterday. He put one shot in. Gee, honestly, it was a bone rattler. Mm. They're obviously a happy bunch scoring. Yeah. Gilmore in particular, I was absolutely delighted with him.
Yeah, well, as I said, the young side, what they've got, and they've got players who like to play, and hopefully Dennis is going to be giving them a licence there where they can play what they see. And yeah, Chris Houston, from a point of view, is he out of contract this year, so maybe he's putting himself in the shop window.
I thought he might sign a new one, I think.
Has he signed one, has he? But on his day, he's a quality player, yeah. But and I say with Dennis, he knows he's got some quality kids from there, and he's allowed to express themselves with a keep clear of injuries. Hey, listen, who knows? But again, on a week-to-week basis, have they got the quality from there? But one thing for sure, it's been a great start. They got a cast this week. They'll be going there with plenty of confidence.
The other thing they've got is a real sense of purpose, and it's built on the back of tragedy, and they've acknowledged that. And as a club, they've been absolutely magnificent in the way they've honoured a player that didn't even pull the shirt on. But they're all very much aware of the fact that they're carrying the memory, and they've got two Papua New Guinean players in their squad of Kato Otio. And when I spoke to Joe Mellor at the press launch, he said, you know, all it's done is pulled us together. It's given us not just a sense of purpose, but a realisation and perspective that we're very fortunate in doing what we do. Because somebody who we'd like to have had playing alongside us at the age of 23 can't be there. And I think, again, it's things like that that can sometimes be the difference. And if Widnes steer clear of injury, they've got some real talent. Well, you know, Rhys Hanbury apparently was very, very good yesterday, but he missed a lot of the last season. Chris Dean, everybody was saying, had a great day.
Yeah, did. Yeah, two tries.
And even Kristen Inu, who can be an in-and-out sort of player, looked like he'd settled.
They played well. Mm. The crowd have clearly adopted Wellington Albert. He played yesterday.
Brilliant.
He was pretty good. He's got a good off. He's a bit Cuthbertson. I'll tell you what, he can get the offload out. He offloaded about 5 yards off his own line. I thought, whoa. But it was straight to hand.
I don't mind that.
Encouraged to do it, I think. And that's where, again, I say, yes, it's Dennis, but it's also Francis Cummins, because he's been brought in to tell them to, in the words of the legend here, to play what they see and not be frightened about doing your four drives and then trying to put a move on. If it's on, play it. And I think that going back to Catalan, Steve McNamara said in the lead-up to the game that there was going to be a period whereby, having had so many people missing with the World Cup, it would take them time to come together. But the big thing, it sounded like, was the indiscipline. You can't give away 15, 16 penalties and have a guy in the sin bin who's now looks like being charged with a two-game ban.
If I were in charge of the Dragons, I'd be asking the RFL to ban him for 4 weeks over the way he played yesterday.
He was awful.
And he's got no World Cup.
He was a disgrace. I mean, late shot on Melly. He had another one after that as well that I thought he could have probably got done for. They just killed themselves on penalties. Absolutely killed themselves.
Big year for Joe Mellor. 27. Great talent through the Wigan system.
Played well.
Written off last year himself because of the injuries that he suffered. But if he can steer clear of injuries, he's another halfback you'd throw into a potential international.
Got one of his trademark tries. Christine give him an offload and 60 yards.
You see, also as well, what Mac has got to realise is, and I say what's been a problem for the Catalans for the last 2 or 3 years with the big egos. Samoa's got that big ego. What he's going to say to him? Hey, listen, you're not bigger than what this side is. If you don't buckle down, if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, then I'm afraid to say you're out. And that's what he's got to do, because if not, it's going to be a long, hard season again for Catalans.
Yeah, I thought Casti and Busquets played quite well, but other than that,
Ali McAlorin thing did it all right.
Give a few penalties away. He didn't do anything. You think, wow, you know, I don't know. He played. He did okay, but they just.
There need to be, again, early in the season. You're only talking about putting down markers, but they need to be a lot stronger at home to St Helens this week, because it's that home crowd that they've got to convince that a corner's been turned.
What about their style of playing, the Maka Mark? Were they looking to be a bit expansive, or were they just?
Who's that?
Catalans.
They didn't really.
So they couldn't get into any field position to express themselves.
No, they had a couple of chances. They scored two tries. I forget 5 minutes or whatever. They did all right. You know, they did all right. Walsh, I thought Walsh played quite. He played a couple of nice balls at the line. You know, that caused problems. But the facts are, at 12-all at the break, you were a bit. I fancied Widnes, put them up last week. Second half, you're thinking Catalan might kick on here. But Widnes just came out and absolutely destroyed them. They played near, I think the first four kicks, they completed every set and they kicked inside the 20, and it just, Catalan couldn't cope with it. Absolutely couldn't cope with it. Fantastic. look, it's day one. I've just said you can't write Cass off. I'm not saying Widnes are going to be great. They played very well, and I think just what they need. You mentioned the home fans. I think anyone that went to that will think, hang on, we've got half a decent team here, and they're having a good dig for the lads.
And playing attractive rugby. That's what you want to see. Yeah. Playing attractive rugby.
I think Tony, our resident Widnes
yes.
fan, he gave me the royal wave when I saw him yesterday.
I bet it was the royal wave.
No, that was for you. No, he gave me a nice wave.
The Nescafe handshake, he didn't do that.
No.
Con says... Widnes have a head coach as assistant coach incoming. It's not many teams can say that. Could see his attacking imprint already, especially with a short dropout.
Yes, cheeky, yeah. Yeah, very good. They got a short dropout. Well, they got one of the rare Catalan, you know, think, oh, they might have a go here. Mm. Cheeky little dropout on the attack straight away, honestly. Dragons.
But you know what? I've kept saying it for a few seasons now, haven't I? If you let the players express themselves, you know, how they want to play, just give them that confidence and say, hey, listen, as well, all right, if it doesn't come off, you know, you're not going to get told off. Just keep doing it and keep doing it and do it, because it will pay off for them. And as you can see, the reports, what I'm hearing about Widnes, you as a yourself, Mark, are reading the reports. The Widnes, you know, they seem to be in a happy camp from there. Dennis is getting the best out of his players. Phil said about the influence of Francis coming. So, yeah, the players have got a happy dressing room, got a smile on the face. They want to play how they want to play. And that's how you get the response of the players.
This is a good old-fashioned good performance, I thought.
And well done, Widnes. Well done, Widnes.
That's the other thing. They're fit. We didn't see the best of them much of last year, because too many of their star names weren't out there.
Indeed. What's happening on social media? It's still at RLNRY.
Yeah.
You can get in touch on Facebook. Lots of you doing that. Right, let's have a look.
Quite busy out there. While we're randomly talking about things, we'll get back to Catalans in a moment. We had a question from Andrew, which I think is easy to answer. He says, what does it say when Rugby Union Club Bradford and Bingley, a part-time club, can sign such a talent as Fui Fui Moi Moi? How can Rugby League keep hold of any talent? Fui Fui Moi Moi's past it.
Yeah.
He was a gimmick.
He's not a talent.
One. He's a bloke with big hair.
Oh, we saw him last year.
He's a gimmick.
He has been a talent.
Yeah.
He has been, you know, one of these impact players, certainly in the NRL. Paramountly player for, wasn't he? But since he's come over here, he's been an absolute joke. And he's not a talent. Good luck to him. Good riddance. And if Rugby Union want him, let me go to Rugby Union. He's not going to offer them anything.
I understand he's probably going to be in Eddie Jones' next England squad, because he's been here long enough now playing for Toronto. They'll get in there straight away.
He brings nothing. He brought nothing over here to any... All right, yeah, he might have brought selling merchandise with wigs and all this sort of thing. But apart from that, absolute nothing. Good riddance to him and good luck in Rugby Union. You can have him.
Tom says, evening all. It's hard to judge after round one, but considering his dismal record going back to last season, will Steve McNamara be the first coach? Well, it's already started, but one programme in. Will Steve McNamara be the first coach sacked? Catalan have been going backwards ever since he took over from Laurent Fresneau.
What a good day. They didn't play well.
See how they go this week.
15 penalties on the back foot from whistle one.
Pressure's on, Mark.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not, but, it's...
And one thing for sure, I said it last week, didn't I? If Catalans could have picked a side to go away first, it would have been Widnes. Reverse that now. Catalans are at home. One side they don't want coming to Catalans at the first game at home. Who is it? The champion-elect, said Talons.
Mm, we'll see.
Champions. Kai says, the legend talks sense. Phil Chaplin, it says here. I don't know who that is. Talks nonsense.
The Chaplin. Now refers to him as the Reverend.
Who do we think Rovers are signing? Aussie halfback on the way, apparently. That'll be, I'm guessing, Hull Kingston. I think Feathers and Rovers have got enough halfbacks now, haven't they?
Yeah.
It won't be Trent Hodgkinson.
No.
Who's moved to Cronulla from Newcastle.
He has. You know, you mentioned Danny Tickle. What does he bring? Having watched Hull KR on Friday night, they need a few Danny Tickles, I think. They need some forwards that are prepared to roll the sleeves up and run it in, because they are in for a long, old season. I looked at them. Wakefield played really well. Never actually... I thought they were a bit conservative in the second half. When Rovers scored, I thought Wakey should have just gone and said, no, we're not having it. But they just said, right, this is the game plan. We're just going to stick to it, because we know you're not going to break us down. They did it. They scored a couple of tries at the end. They just didn't have the firepower up front, you know. And I'm not speaking for him, but Danny McQuire must be thinking, God.
Maybe he needs protection.
Maybe he should have just sat on the bench for less money at Leeds.
We said that at the time, didn't we? That he needs protection. He needs forwards that will make sure that he's getting ball in positions where he can do something. He needs people running off him, but if not, he's too easy to target, to shut down, if he's the only outlet. Yep,
but fellas, I've told you before, I've experienced that when I moved from Leeds to Huddersfield. I've explained it to you, and having spoken to Danny before, you know, it got announced or whatever, I said, listen, it's going to be frustrating, it's going to be patient for you, and the last time, I think when we did the, you know, the radio work, the old Daily Mail picks up on it, and it is quite simple, and Mark, and you've just picked up it there, and it's after one game. It's after one game where I would imagine Danny was frustrated, I guess he may be frustrated from a point of view, where he knows himself that the players around him are nowhere near the quality. And the fact of the matter is,
he didn't have a bad game either.
No, no. So what I'm saying, because he would have been trying his hardest. But the players around him, Phil, it doesn't matter how we try and put the spin on it. Then players around him, quite simply, cannot come up to the mark to help Danny Maguire. They can't because they're not good enough. Simple as that.
I saw one of the funniest things I'll probably see all season on Friday night. They were doing the warm-up and we were watching the wait for... Because we were down at our end of the field. And I was watching Paulie Paul, because I've never seen him before. He's a big lad, isn't he? And he's big in all... You know, muscly big. He's not a...
Is that his name? Paulie Paulie? Is it something else or just Paulie Paulie?
No, Paulie Paulie. It's called Paulie Paulie, I believe.
So good they named him twice.
Yeah, anyway, they're doing the old tackle back, the tackle shields. And he's running
in. I wouldn't know about that, anyway.
Well, he's running in. And I don't know if Lee Gilmore looked the other way or what, but Paulie Paulie ran into him, and Gilmore went about 10 yards flying back. Only just like, you know, like a comedy cartoon knockout sketch. Mm-hmm. And anyway, everyone went, you know, and you're all looking, think, what's happened there? Yeah. And they all got up laughing, but I thought, crikey, that must have hurt. Must have hurt. He just flattened, floored him.
Hey, listen. I play with two players at league called Neil Harmon and Harvey Howard. They used to do at the training paddock.
Well,
say no more.
He played well, Paulie Paulie.
Say no more.
The trouble Hull KR have got is the fact that when you do have promotion relegation, you do miss most of the transfer market. You can't plan in as far ahead as other clubs are doing that you're going to be playing against. So you do have to wait and see who's available. And the trouble is that, again, having lost Danny Addy, Nick Scruton's not going to be playing for probably a month.
Shoulder problem, is it, he's got?
All of a sudden, then you have to bring players in and you can only get what's available. Well, and so they've gone for Junior Vai-Vai, who had a relatively decent World Cup. Brian McDermott said he probably can make it at Super League level, but isn't proven. And they've gone for Danny Tickle because they need guys that can just go out and do it.
He'll do all right. He'll add to them. I'm serious. He will. He'll add to it. At least he'll carry it. I'm not saying the lads didn't carry it, but they've just made no inroads on the way, you know. I thought they were average Hull KR. I thought Wakey, I mean, what was it, 28-6, something like that?
Yeah, 28-6.
And if it had been 46, you would have said...
I'll tell you what, this week, they've come 12 and road to play Leeds.
Yeah.
And if Leeds could have picked a side to come to Welland Road before they go to Melbourne, it would have been Hulkies and Rovers. They are going to absolutely hammer Hulkie out on Thursday, and I reckon it could be easy 30-plus. Easily 30-plus. Yeah. The way Leeds started out against Warrington on Thursday.
Bring back club call. That's what they're all saying. Hey. Caroline says on a couple of things we already talked about, it must be the influence of the Catlands, because Sam Mower, aside from one incident, was fairly blameless when he played for us at Hull. What is it that makes them become such liabilities in France? Saw Rovers want Hanbury. Why? They need some big forwards, surely.
Yeah, I'd have gone with that, but we'll see. You know, we've got to wait, Phil. Anyway, did you see Michael Carter's tweet? What was it? 40-odd tackles, none missed, 100-odd metres, Ashurst, 80 minutes.
Matty Ashurst? I told you, Michael Carter
can't believe his luck.
And he's driving over from Wigan every day as well.
I told you how I rate Matty Ashurst. He should have been in England squad for the World Cup.
Another
point there, Phil. Yeah, he should have been in the World Cup squad. And again, another reason why Wayne Bennett should be sacked and not retained. Picky Chris Hynington. Simple as. Move on.
Good old Chris. Penn says, wait for that. One of the best packs in Super League, if not the biggest. The big fellas. Stephen's been on. Stephen, I am not in charge of this photo. It is Mark Wilson's fault.
What's happened?
This signed photo he wants.
Text me in the morning.
Were the lads surprised to see Tom Johnston banging three on back on his return to Wakefield's side against Hull KR? Which players impressed you, Mark? Heard so much on Johnston. We've got two good centres in, Tupper and Lynn, and a strong pack in Fifita. How did Paulie and Horro play?
Yeah, played well. Horro was steady away. Yeah, did all right. He looks a bit leaner. They all look very lean, Wakefield. Very fit. Clogger's obviously been working hard this winter.
I tell you one player who didn't look fit. Ooh, big Murdoch, man.
All right, we'll talk about them in a bit. I'll agree with that.
Want to get ripped in, because I'm one for sure he's been ripping into barbecues. Jeez, eh?
Yeah.
I tell you what, if he's got a free barbecues a day, I wouldn't mind one.
Yeah.
I'll bring the peas.
Yeah.
The thing about Tommy Johnson...
played well.
I think, you know, we quite rightly have watched Tom Johnson's tries. They're all highlight real tries, but I think there was a comment from Richie Mathers who has gone through two complete knee reconstructions on separate knees throughout his career, and said that psychologically it can take up to a year to get your full confidence back, and for Johnson to be performing the way he did on his first game back, absolutely fearless, that is a great credit to the kid himself.
I think he probably, with hindsight, could have had a couple of tries early on. I think he just played the safe option, not criticism, playing for the team, whereas I think if he'd have had those chances at the end when he got three and he'd just gone, yeah, I'm scoring again here. I mean, that third try he got was out of this world.
Is he available? Was he available for England then, Johnson?
Yeah.
He would be available for England.
All Germany.
I'm just figuring if he wasn't, with Great Britain coming back, he'd be looking for the touring spot in 2019. But, Tom Johnson, we've seen that for the last couple of years, haven't we? What a quality wing he is. And I tell you what, he's a level-headed kid as well. And, this kid, he's going to be a star. Well, he already is a star, but he's going to be an even bigger one. Don't worry about that. If he keeps injury-free,
in the red, white and blue, not in any other colours, not blue and amber. They'll be after him.
You should be more worried about teams west of the Pennines rather than the one up the road if a potential winger is required.
I reckon with Tom Johnson, it's like the relationship what McGilray's got with Ken David, the relationship with Johnson's got with Michael Carter. You know, I think it's a point of view for... It's a mateship from there, and the respect what Tom has for Wakefield, for the opportunity what they give him there, the respect what Michael shows him.
How naive are you? Do you honestly believe that's true?
I do, yeah, I do, honestly.
You don't believe in every player has his price?
Well,
I think the clever thing is to tie him up on a five-year deal so that for the price that he does have.
Well, hold on. I had a price when Wigan came to me, and I said, no, I'm not coming because, you know, not just with
Lawton,
but I reckon I thought things were going to happen. But if we all know what Mr. Lawton, if he'd have been on, he said, I'd be in Oski. But the way that Tom Johnson is, the relationship between Michael, the way Wakefield are going in the right direction, Tom Johnson wouldn't have any reason whatsoever to go up the road to Leeds. The only way he would go to Leeds is when Chris Chester takes over at Leeds in the next two or three years.
I think it's safe to say he won't go
over the Pennines.
His performances won't have gone unnoticed by agents that operate for clubs in the NRL.
We'll see how good his relationship is with Michael. And yeah, we know it's a good one, but we'll see when the big numbers come in, Gary, and they will come. And he keeps playing like that.
Well, all right, then, Michael, you tell us then. If the right price comes in, he's going to sell Tom Johnson.
He's going to say that round one.
Come and tell us.
Come on.
Yeah,
I think
it's
safe to say for the British game,
he's not worth that much.
It's really good that Alex Worms has re-signed with St Helens, because he was heavily rumoured to be going to the NRL for his one big payday. Now, I don't know if he's a marquee player, because publicly you don't have to announce it. Be interesting to know if he's the first forward that's been given a marquee contract. But whatever Saints have done to keep him, whether he's decided it's because of his young family that he wants to stay here, that is a real boost for Super League in its opening weekend, that one of its star names, one of the few players who the Aussies really cover on his World Cup performances, that there were a lot of clubs after him, that he's decided to stay here.
Yeah, well done, St Helens. They've put the money down as well, which is good. We've been asked what you think of Richie Myler's performance.
Yeah, a few people have asked about this.
Steady.
Surprisingly.
Steady. Yeah, I thought it was steady. Yeah. If I was looking, giving points out of 10, I'd be looking at 7. So, yeah, for me, steady. Him and the moon, it's a work in progress. So, a couple of times, the communication wasn't there. You know, Joe Moon passed the ball a couple of times on the floor, and Richie Myler from there just got a little bit mixed up. But overall, it was steady. And, he would get a 7 out of 10 from me. Good signs.
He'd get 8 because his defence was magnificent out wide. There were 3 or 4 times that he was targeted by much bigger players in defence, and he stood up to them every time. I thought that Moon-Myler combination at this early stage of the season overshadowed the opposite number, Tyrone Roberts and Kevin Brown.
There's a time Warrington was clueless. Tyrone Roberts...
I thought he got better as the game went on.
He did. And clearly he hasn't played any pre-season games, and you can tell which players are fit and ready for the season and those that will be easing their way into it.
The point I'm trying to say is that the combination between him and Brown, there's got to be more communication when a point of view. If Brownie wants the ball, he's got to get it. But Tyrone Roberts at times was going across the field and just trying to do it all on his own. You just can't do that. You can't, even though you had a marquee signing, you know, and did I say you expected big things from you, you've got to make sure that the combination and the communication, if it's going to work from a creative point of view, it's got to be there. And at times, it wasn't there.
Myler's kicking game. His kick for Hall's first try.
Oh, Phil, what about the enthusiasm from Warrington defenders? Pathetic.
It's another element of his game. It's a strange
Phil, I have watched Richie Myler, right? I do know he's got a kicky game. I do know he's a support player. I do know he can score tries.
He didn't
know
he could tackle, though, did he?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Phil. He can tackle when people run at him. Phil, I have played this game, you know, Phil, and watched it for many years.
I think you've underestimated Richie.
I've not underestimated him. Phil, all I've said is quite simple. Is he good enough to wear the number 6 jersey? Well, he's not played number 6 because he's played number 7. Time will tell, Mr. Kaplan. Time will tell.
But it was a good day.
Our losses, he gave him a 7. That in itself is an admittance he played well.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
I said steady.
Yeah, he played well. Well, your steady is very good, I think. So
there you go then.
Right, there you go. If it had been Danny Richardson, it'd have been 11 out of 10. That's what you'd have been given.
Oh,
anyway, we'll move on.
Please.
So, you've given him your grade. That's
Listen, one thing for sure, I am open and honest at what I see on that rugby league. I don't make things up. I do not make things up, you know that yourself. So there.
What were your... you've had a chance to look back at Ryan Atkins' finish?
Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And you know what, Mark? Phil and Rich, if that was back in my day, right, he would have been hooked off. He would have been hooked off straight away and he would have been going to the A-team on the Thursday night, wherever they was going, and saying, there you go, you won't do that again. It was absolutely pathetic.
Tom Johnson, by the way, did the same thing the day after and went over the defender and over the corner flag and scored. So it can be done.
Yeah, but also as well, fellas, listen, when you're that close to the trial...
Oh, he could have fallen over, he'd have scored.
He could have chipped over his boots or anything. You know, you are told as a kid, you always put the ball down with pressure. So that means going low. Ryan Atkins, I bet your bottom dollar will never, ever do that again. Phil was trying to stick up for him at the program on the last tackle. He was using the corner flag at his mate. He was nowhere near the corner flag.
He
was nowhere near the corner flag. Ryan, you won't do it again. Pathetic. Simple as
he got hammered for it and he took it.
Hey, and also as well, what I say about Ryan Atkins and all, he ain't got a kicking game, son. Stop kicking the ball. Here's another one. I noticed as well John Wilkie kicked the ball as well on Friday night, didn't he? John, just leave it alone, son. But also, Ryan, please, don't kick the ball. You can't do it.
Gutted. Gutted I was this morning when I opened the League Express and I didn't win. Tweet of the week from my one about Ryan Atkins. Worst attempt at scoring since he took Chanel from Big Brother to Toby Carvery in Wakefield.
What was the worst one this weekend? Raheem Sterling's miss for Man City or Ryan Atkins' miss try for Warrington?
Did
you see that Raheem Sterling?
I haven't seen it.
I've seen him.
Sterling's goal bonus is probably bigger than Ryan Atkins' yearly wage.
And then he falls up. He's in front of, and he just falls up floor. And I'm thinking, you're not trying to claim a penalty. It was an absolute joke.
Oh dear. Never mind.
It was funny, wasn't it? And he took it in the spirit. And Super League Twitter did a great video about it. It was very good.
Hey, listen, fellas.
We can laugh at ourselves.
Right, okay. I bet you the coach Steve Price wasn't laughing about it in the dressing room after.
Well, I asked him about it in the presser after, and he said, "Yeah, maybe with hindsight, he could have done it a bit different."
Maybe in hindsight. Well, I wouldn't imagine it. When he came in that dressing room after the game, I wonder about Ryan. Can I just have a word with you? This is my man management style. Listen, Ryan. In hindsight, you would do something a little bit different, wouldn't you? I can reassure you that it won't be in the words. And let me just tell you, it wouldn't have been in where everybody else could have seen it. It'd have been in the corner somewhere, and it would have been quite a point of view where, you do that again, you won't be playing.
You'd get that in front of everyone, wouldn't you? They'd have all been hammering him anyway.
Yeah, in a joking way. Yeah. In a joking way. He'll still be getting it now. I bet you on the training paddock, where they went in on Sunday or Monday, they would have all been doing dives. They would have all been doing dives, don't worry about that. He won't be allowed to forget about that until he scores that trick.
Better than another Ryan getting sent off on his debut, you know. That's what we've got to say. Mm-hmm. It's busy today because now everyone's happy that the rugby's back. Martin getting a digging at Scully about Richie Myler. Ben says Hull Cow were completely outclassed, 28-6 flattered. And Mark says, what about Tim Sheen's comment? We lost but we didn't get beat.
I didn't hear that.
It's at League Express.
Is it?
It's at League Express.
Well, Tim, I'll lend you the glasses.
Peter is talking about Salford. We're thrashed by an average Wigan side. No such thing as an average Wigan side. Bags of quality, says Peter. Obviously, a Wigan fan, then.
Well, it was a good win. Can't take that away, can you? What? I'm not sure if you go on the proviso that you're never quite as good as your best result and never as bad as your worst one. The truth is in the middle, isn't it?
The thing about Wigan was we all wondered before the season started, would they score points? Would they change their attacking philosophy and become a little bit more expansive? And it looks as though the return of Morgan Escarray has had a major effect in that. He not only looked very quick when he came on and scored a great try, but he allows Sam Tompkins then to adopt a different role. Tompkins has had a full pre-season, has said and looks fit, and arguably taking on a goal-kicking role as well as had that with relish. That's going to help his game. It means he's going to be making even more of a contribution. So I think the first indication we saw of Wigan was the fact that they looked different.
Very good. Sorry for chuckling away there.
It's more P-related stuff.
Yeah, Tony...
I've retweeted it.
Oh, you retweeted it. Oh, sent us a...
listen,
the number one choice in Belle Isle. Quick soap, please. With your face on the front.
Come on, let's have a bit of respect.
By the way, if you watch on Facebook, you'll be able to see on the thing how to enter the competition.
Win. Yeah. A signed Castlewood Tiger shirt. Not one they wore on Friday. That'll probably be clean as well, but brand new one.
He's enjoying it, isn't he? Wakefield have won. He's revelling in it. He's all right.
Good news from Michael Carter. He wants Tom Johnston to be at Wakefield for the next 15 years. Hashtag not for sale. At least we know he won't try any dirty tricks and try to retire.
As Bruce Forsyth used to say, Michael Carter, the price is right.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, Michael knows
come
I talk.
Michael, come on down!
Michael knows I talk sense. They've got that relationship. What two players, a lot of them don't have with your player and a chairman. Don't worry about that. Johnson won't be going anywhere.
No.
Won't be going anywhere. So hopefully I'll be at Wakefield soon, Michael.
Bedius says, does a show ever go by when Scully doesn't mention Doug Lawton? No, it doesn't. Bedius in his contract. If he doesn't mention it, then we will get rid of him.
People are pleased to know the belly's still here. That
it
has
is,
not gone.
Yeah, well,
it's there.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. At times, you've got to talk about your experience when you've been there, because I guess that's why I'm employed, because I'm an expert.
No.
From there.
No, you've got to reminisce.
At times.
We bring it up. You've got to reminisce. We know it annoys you and it makes us laugh. You know, to do with your experiences as a player, we're not bothered. You're bothered about that. You're just sort of revelling in your misery, that's all it is.
Hey, I tell you what, it was misery north for 4 years, I can reassure you. When I pulled up in the car park and he pulled up, we both went, never got to see him for the next 3 hours.
Gary Carter was at Salford, and he says, forget the scoreline, Wigan's left side was lethal, Salford weren't as bad as the 40 points to 12 scoreline suggests. Can't read too much into one game. We'll see Salford on Friday night, live on Proper Sport, at the home of Rugby League, the Mobile Rocket Stadium. Thursday, of course, we're at Elland Road, the home of football, for Leeds Rhinos versus all Kingston Rovers.
Yes, we are looking forward to it.
Yeah, Leeds might have changed managers about three times before then as well, so that'd be something to look forward to.
I'll tell you what, fellas, just talking about reminiscing, Gary Carter just come on there, journalist, Phil, I'm sure he knows. We only talked about him with Ian Thomas. The great Brian Batty passed away the weekend. Great journalist for the Daily Mail. I got to know Brian when I first came into the game in 83. I tell you what, the journals in them days absolutely sent it. Arthur Brooks, Jack McNamara, Brian Batty, Peter Wilson, and I say Alan Thomas himself, and we're only just reminiscing how great he was on the tours and all this sort of thing. So very sad to hear Brian has passed away, and all the all our condolences and memories to his family. Great man, great rugby league man with Brian Batty.
Alan and Ben have brought up Matty Smith. Alan says, will he leave St Helens? Ben says, I would have Matty Smith at Wakefield. Game management in big games is what cost us the top four last year, and he brings that.
Why would you want Matty Smith at Wakefield?
I don't know, but I tell you what, he's not going to get back in that Saints team.
No way.
If I was his agent, I'd be looking for a move, maybe Hull Kingston Rovers. Yeah, okay. There you go. Smith and Maguire.
Hold on. So does every journeyman have to go to Wilkie Allen? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Because he's available.
Well, might be available. Legend.
Possibly available.
Fancy again?
It could be on.
You and Danny Maguire at halfback.
It could be on. I could get it first man. Danny can get wine and get the big man running off him. What do they call it nowadays? Running on the edges rather than running to gaps. Terminology changes, doesn't it? It's all the same. All the same.
But having seen St Helens live in colour on Friday, he's not going to break up that partnership of Johnny Lomax and Danny Richardson.
I think what went, obviously, Ben Barber took the eye and the headlines, and so he should. He was sensational. And you mentioned Percival's finishing was absolutely dynamic.
Robbie was outstanding as well, wasn't he?
Johnny Lomax, that first half at standoff, looked made for that position. We all wondered where would he play when Barber came. And yes, I can see that Theo Farge might now be the backup hooker to James Roby, so that gets him involved. But I thought Lomax was absolutely outstanding for the first 40 minutes when Saints were great. He had to move into the centres after injury in the second half. Wasn't quite as effective, but they've got some combinations there that they can use.
And Justin Albrook as well, as I mentioned before the season started, Mark Wilson reminded me a few times, well, you can't go for Richardson, Scoy, because Justin Albrook's told you he's not going to play him. Hold on, let me just say this to you, Mr. Wilson. He's not only going to play him week in and week out, hopefully he doesn't get injured, but he's given responsibility of the goal-kicking duties. There you go, son. Albrook has listened to the legend.
That's the line.
What world are you living? Is it like a different planet to the one we're on?
Me and Justin were like that. Tipped him to do the double. Maybe the treble, depends on the cup draw. Me and Justin, don't worry about that, son.
Yeah. Tipped him to do the treble until you're in company of Radders when you tell him they're going to win the cup for the third successive year. Yeah.
They were good, Saints. They were good to watch. And the best bit of Ben Barber's play, apart from his partnership with Mark Purcell we mentioned earlier, was bashing Greg Eden into touch. Because he didn't need to do it, because they'd already won the game. But you could tell they really enjoyed that bit of defensive work.
That was a great bit of television as well, because Eden sort of smiles at him as if to say, I'm going to take you on the outside. Yeah. And Barb goes, come over the touchline with me. That was brilliant. What are Saints going to be like as well when pitches dry out? Because it seemed, again, that cut up from minute one wasn't easy for footing, and they played some delightful rugby on it. So you wonder when the weather gets warmer, pitches get firmer. Could be in for some treats.
They're going to give the teams like Hulky, Sir Rovers and Salford an absolute hammering out when they go to the stadium.
You would think so, but you don't know, do you? You don't know. You know, one win, good. Let's see if they can make it 4-5.
I tell you what I've been delighted with, Darryl Powell's open honesty about his Castleford players and the performance. That's what Darryl's all about, isn't he? You know, he won't put any spin on it. He couldn't see the attitude of the game. The attitude at the training all week was good. He couldn't see that performance coming, and he said himself there will be changes, there will be players dropped. So, the open honesty. He'll be addressing certain things this week in training, but he couldn't see it coming. And, well done to Darryl. His open honesty from there. He knows that's not good enough from a side that he coaches, and the players will know that this week.
And they need a win quickly, purely because, just from a confidence point of view,
they've got witness. They'll go there with plenty of confidence, Phil.
Yeah, but Castleford just need to get back on the horse. However they do it, they just need to get a win. Just to say, right, well, we're not going to go through a run where we're questioning the things that we do. We know that what we do is right. For 99% of the season last year, it worked. And you talk to players when they hit this barrier of confidence, that suddenly it drains away very, very quickly. You go from thinking we can do no wrong to we've forgotten how to do the things that got us to where we were. Leeds said it in 2016. Warrington said exactly the same thing in 2017. You just need to get that first win on the board, and then you build on the back of that. I think the worry for Darryl was that there just seemed to be a lack of energy about his pack. They'd been away for warm weather training. Everybody looked fit. They've done a lot of work together, but apart from Paul McShane and maybe Adam Milner when he came on, there just didn't seem to be that direction. Physically, they were beaten up front, and that hasn't happened to Cass for, 18 months?
I don't think it's panic station, though, is it? It's not panic station for Cass, is it?
Not at all. It's not panic station for anybody at the moment.
Saints fans singing, you're just a one-season wonder. Midway through that second half, they were very good, though, St Helens, and no one should take anything away from that. I'm sure we'll see the real Cass again very soon. Jake Truman didn't have the best of games, but I guess as a young player it's better to throw him out there and get the experience rather than just leave him rotting in the, well, there isn't even the reserves to rot in, is there? Just give him game time. If it doesn't work, he'll learn more.
Halfbacks can't perform behind a beaten pack. It's throughout for many, many years in the game. If your forwards aren't doing it for you, halfbacks can't do nothing. So Truman wasn't to blame for that on Friday night.
I wouldn't be surprised if Jamie Ellis starts this Sunday, though.
I am putting it out there that it is all down to Luke Gale's hair, and he's very much the reverse of Samson. All the people who've read the Bible will know Samson had the hair, lost his powers. Now he's got hair, got the sun cap on. He's rubbish now, Luke Gale. So, what can he do?
He's getting stuck in, isn't he, Rich?
Well, I'll tell you what.
When did Cass play Wakefield? I'm looking forward to that.
I saw Luke Gill with that scrum cap on. It looked like me when I wore mine for a year when I had the serious ear operation. Take it off, Luke. Take it off. Mm-hmm. If somebody ruffles your hair, you ain't got it. Doesn't matter.
Why didn't you just do that in the first place? Just wear the hat. Pat's Facebook full of questions about stuff. Apparently, Sammo's got a grade B charge, according to Robert. They've changed the grading system.
Sammo, he's got a penalty notice. It's like he's parked his car in the wrong place.
Yeah, didn't have the relevant permit. He got Simbin for a late tackle. I think it was on Mella. He did another one later on as well.
Ian says he hopes James Bentley gets back in the team. He's one of the million players who've signed for Sheffield the day before they played Dewsbury, which is a good news for Dewsbury. They still won.
Mm.
So well done to Dewsbury in the championship. A lot of people talking about Toronto. Marlene, one of them. How about that marker put down by Toronto? Could be time to consider a fund for next season to go across, though. Hopefully they play the game against your club in Toronto and not like in London or...
What division will they be playing in, even if they finish top?
Again, they might not be in, might they?
Yeah.
They were good yesterday, Toronto. Watched a bit of it on the telly.
I think having gone 12-0 down to come back from that and be so dominant in what is their most difficult away game of the season on paper in week one, that is probably the performance of the weekend.
Just in week one then, the way Toronto performed against Lee, would they compete against Salford, Hulkinson Rovers and Huddersfield? I think Lee would compete with them.
That's the type of team they've recruited when they were in.
But I say, would they compete and maybe beat them as well? Then,
well, when they were in League One last year, they put together a team that I think probably would have been halfway up the Championship. So, by the same token, the team that they bought to be in the Championship would certainly be in, at least you would think, the bottom four teams in Super League.
Yeah, and one thing for sure, what Lee are lacking are quality halfbacks, and where are they playing? One's at Toronto and one's at Featherstone and Bean Stars.
Oh, Manny Smith. There you go. Manny Smith to Lee now. Send him there. Lee's kit, by the way, awful. Awful, awful shirt. James says, Cunningham bringing his lack of vision and awareness to Lee.
Hey, look at your own saying. Who's that?
James.
Tell him to get his own sayings.
Would Gary Schofield be interested in the job bringing a good style of rugby? # Jukes out, Scoey in. That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Well, I beg your pardon, Rich. I beg your pardon.
I mean, the out bit, not the in bit.
You know what?
I think you met Jonathan Schofield, anyway, so it's all right.
Can I just make this prediction, right? And you've heard it here first on Proper Sport. Do you know when Chester took Lucas Rovers to Wembley and then they managed to survive in Super League and then, realistically, Mr. Hudgill should have given him the bullet and then, what was it, three or four games
three,
of the season?
I think.
He gave him the bullet. Well, I reckon Dukesy, after four or five games, I reckon Bournemouth is just showing that bit of loyalty. And then Kieran's turning the screw. I bet you Dukes is out by the first half a dozen games this season, at Lee. And
look, this is a simple comparison, right? That St Helens team, all right, Barber was unsuspended, if you like, from last year. But that was the same bunch of players that he had at his disposal.
There you go.
It's chalk and it's night and day, isn't it?
There you go. Just tells you the reason.
And as we said throughout last season, John Wilkin, when he's in the right position, he's a great player.
Quality player, John Wilkin. Quality forward.
He the other day, you know, he was there, wasn't he, when we were at Warrington. I thought he ignored me.
Well, he's a competitor.
He might obviously not know who I am. Obviously, he's not bothered who I am, but I was sat with you. I think that went against me.
Would have.
I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, listen. John Wilkin is a quality rugby league player as a second rower and loose forward. And if I say it again, I'm only going to say it again once more. He's not a halfback, and he's not allowed to kick the ball. But as a quality back rower and a loose forward, the kid can play. There you go.
Very good. Let's get.
And if we don't want to talk to you, that's your problem, not mine.
What about John Wilkin back to Hull Care? John Wilkin's going to play less game time. There's going to be.
I'm going to fit all these players under the same.
Well, I think
that's the kind of player that actually. He wants to play 80 minutes, and he's getting to the point at St Helens where he won't be playing 80 minutes. And Justin Holbrook's been open and honest about that and told him that.
Yeah, but fellas, why would he want to? It's like, you see, because Danny's going to get so. Why would he want to get battered every week?
Well. Is he going to leave a team that looks very likely to be contesting for everything?
Why would he want to get battered every week? No way, mate, Phil.
He may want to end his career where it started.
Well, why would he want to do that?
Well, you know, he might.
He's not quitting at the end of the season, is he?
No, but he's going to be playing less.
Well, at this moment in time, John Wilkin is not a journeyman rugby league player.
John Wilkin has got plenty to offer.
He's no, but for St Helen still, he's still got plenty to offer for St Helen, so he's not a journeyman player.
But
Wilkin,
if I was
he's a quality
KR,
player.
I'd be inquiring about him.
Well, if I were John Wilkin, I'd be saying no, thank
you.
If I
were OKR, I'd be inquiring about Scully.
Kev is not a fan of Kevin Cunningham, but he wasn't throughout last season as well. Nicholas says, Lee supporters are calling for Duke's head. I don't see it that way, as the coach can't stop handling errors or unpredictable intercepts by the other team. Thoughts of the panel? Just Scully about that.
They're too indisciplined again, aren't they? Again, they were too indisciplined, weren't they? And unfortunately, if the players don't respect you as a coach from that point of view, which I don't, overall I don't think he's got that respect from the players from there. I'm not in the dressing room, so I guess I don't really know, but when you see the players realistically taking things into their own hands, I think it's a lack of respect for the coaching staff. And I would imagine what happened with Chester, what Wilkerson over a couple of years ago, Dukes, he won't be in that job very long. Kieran will be turning the knife and he'll be wanting that job.
Penalty count was 14-10 to Toronto, so they weren't that indisciplined. It's not like they were Catalan, who were incredibly indisciplined.
These foreigners coming here getting all these penalties. Christoph says Toronto had a horrible pre-season. Missing Sims and playing away was the worst case scenario. We still ran away with it, only going to get better. And a championship is ours to lose.
What do we make
and
of
a
the...
long cut run is likely.
What do we make of the Toronto social media? Because they've been quite bullish. Almost, you remember when Chris Eubank was obviously undefeated and he just would get, he'd just hammer everyone. Toronto being a little bit like that on social media.
Maybe that's
in some ways I admire it, in other ways I think,
Isn't that what promotion's about? Promoting
yeah,
the game.
Maybe, yeah,
and
maybe.
Getting people talking. And there was a lot of respect after the game. I mean, that game against Lee was built up as being the battle of all battles. It never really turned out to be that. But there was a lot of mutual respect. I think Lee put the programme online for Toronto fans who couldn't get to the game. A fantastic programme that Lee do as well. Lovingly put together by Mike Latham, who's the preeminent historian in the sport. And to make that available for Lee fans, I think was a great, for Toronto fans, was a great gesture by Lee. And at the end of the game, Toronto were wishing Lee good luck for the rest of the season and thanking them for their hospitality. It's a bit like boxing, isn't it? That yeah. In the lead up to the game, let's promote it however we can, but obviously don't tell Derek Beaumont that the Hearns could do that for us. And then after the game, you all hug and say we're all in
but
this together.
I don't like that. I hate that at the end of the boxing where they all pretend to hate each other and then at the end they love each other. I think I understand that, you know, you're bashing each other and it's, you know, you respect at the end, but if you're going to tell me you hate each other, I want to believe you do hate each other.
Yeah.
Because I want to believe that. I like that.
By the way, have just signed a new player.
Yes, they have.
Jack Butler from Fleming from York City Knights.
Mm. For a transfer fee. Mm.
And he went to York from Hull KR. He was excess to requirement there. So, good bit of business for York.
Is that York City Knights you've got on?
It is, just because I'm going through League One of shirts at the minute, or League One of the Championship.
Yeah. I do think Josh McCrone could be the key signing in the Championship this year. He looks a very good player.
Very good.
Tyler is here with the gags. He says, it's all Darryl Powell's fault. He told the players to treat every game like a grand final, so they did.
Enjoy it.
Tyler's a Cass fan, though. Is he a Cass fan? He's
Fair enough.
Self-deprecating humour. It's the core of rugby league.
Everyone's been given a boost yesterday anyway by the New England Patriots not winning the Super Bowl because they are the Leeds Rhinos of the NFL and they didn't win.
No, they didn't.
So maybe.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed. Speaking of that, Derek, our resident Afghanistan-based listener, says after yesterday's Super Bowl, he showed some American mates the grand final and they love the game because it's closer to the NFL than rugby union. That's why we have to be first there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people don't like this, because New York is not Batley or Swinton or Rochdale. But people always say there's not enough money in rugby league. Well, I've seen America on telly, it's massive. Lots of money there.
Well, and also, I, again, got the impression that there were a lot of people watching the Super Bowl last night who don't follow the NFL week in, week out, but felt, I was maybe even one of them, that they wanted to be part of this event, that you get the sense that there's a global occasion happening and it's sport, and if you like sport and you pick one of the teams maybe, and I think most of us that didn't really know between the two sides picked the underdog, which actually won, which is quite close to our sporting psyche. If you can get it right, that is the biggest sporting market. Why wouldn't you try and put the product out there? Because from what we've seen this weekend, even though it's week one, there's some genuine heroics out there. If you couldn't get excited about Jack Walker this week, an 18-year-old kid playing his 13th game of rugby league and performing in the manner that he did, then, you know, I guess you don't like sport.
And that's what we want to see on the telly building up to the game, the promos of the matches. Jack Walker bashing people and Ryan Hall doing tries and Ryan Atkins not doing tries and all that kind of stuff. Ben Barber bashing Greg Eden rather than some people doing bleep tests.
Yeah.
I saw ITV promoting the Six Nations, which obviously I've avoided because I've got no interest apart from I had to watch it the other night. And their promo for the Six Nations was full of big hits, tries, people running and stuff. I mean, that must have been all of the highlights of last year's Six Nations. And it's like, wow, this looks exciting.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can hype things up and it's a lie.
I know why Ryan Atkins tried to do what he did for that try, because he saw Callum Watkins jump over onto that box and he thought, I can do
I
that.
I could be
on the telly. I could be on the advert. Also, I can jump higher than... Oh, no, I can't jump higher than him.
Let the legend in, talk about a seriousness. I tell you what, how good were Leeds?
That's one for the outtakes.
How good were Leeds, and certainly the forward pack, you know, all the, and even the bench who came up from there, young Dwyer as well, he's going to be a massive asset. But,
and his offload as well. He wasn't just looking to scoop.
Yeah, Mullally coming off the bench from there. But I'll tell you what, the stalwarts in Jamie Jones, Carl Ablett and Delaney, they were absolutely marvellous. And I said, Delaney, you know, well, his body seems to get put together, but he had no strapping about there, and they were magnificent, them three leaders from there. And I say all the pack, what, all the forwards from there, and I say Leeds, OK, they only just won by 4 points, but for me, I felt as though they were a far better side than what Warrington. OK, well, Warrington got over four or five times the try line, but again, it's just that defence, what Leeds have got from there. And Singleton, you know, coming of age as a player, he's enjoying now being one of the main players at Leeds in that pack of forwards, taking one of them leadership roles from there. Leeds on Thursday night certainly put a marker down.
Is it good enough to beat Melbourne, do you think? Billy Slater's announced today that he's going to be playing. Cameron Smith expected to be playing. They've actually got a sponsor for the World Club Challenge.
Wow. Who is it?
It's a company called Downer, who are a utilities company. They sponsored the Auckland Nines for the first 2 years. They're now the headline sponsor of the World Club Challenge.
So that's good.
But that's good. They were taking it seriously anyway, but that was announced in Melbourne today, so ratchets it up a little bit. Was Leeds' defensive performance good enough to keep Melbourne out, do you think?
Well, it's going to have to be full 80 minutes, isn't it? You know, and obviously, to win the game, you have to score more points than the opposition, but... Leeds have put a marker down, and then I say if they wanted to, any opposition to before they go to Melbourne, it would have been OKR, because, you know, big, nice, wide open pitch, there'd be a good atmosphere at Allen Road there, and they'll be looking how they're going to train this week. They'll want to implement that on Thursday night and then get themselves ready. So
Stevie Ward back in the mix.
Don't rule it out. Well, the way the forward pack, Phil, the way the forward pack played, who are you going to drop?
Well, presumably Delaney to the bench, I would have thought. But it's just competition for places.
No, of course it is.
I mean, Garbutt might be back as well. So,
But Leeds, they put a marker down. And I say, you mentioned young Jack Walker. And the great thing about young Jack Walker is everybody calls up a bit of stinker. What's this young kid saying? He should be this and he should be that. And I tell you, I applauded it.
He's got confidence.
I applauded it because the kid not just talked the talk, mm-hmm. but he certainly walked the walk. And as we know from the games what he played, we know his the way that he played in the grand final and the way that he started out on Thursday night. Sensation. And the tackles, what
three
he made.
Times.
And do you know what as well? I would imagine, because nowadays players are told, don't be going tackling around the legs, don't tackle around the legs. And I'll tell you what, if he didn't tackle around the legs, Kevin Brown would have scored, I think. I forgot who else would have scored. But also as well, when he got back and just to get underneath the big Murdoch Masella, you know, I'll tell you what, how big is he? How many barbecues has he had since the World Cup? He's got to have about four or five barbecues a day with the size of him, because he wasn't fit. But yeah, you and Jack Walker outstanding. As I mentioned, Dwyer, he's going to be a big asset for Leeds.
Ryan Hall's finishing as well, because he looked like somebody that just came out of a six-week intense training camp with England and looked like he did maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, when he
saw
made,
the outside and went, when he made, when, I'm having that.
When he made that break, and I said it to Mark in commentary, when he made that break and he saw it's Radford, he said, yes, you're getting the see you later. It didn't need to be the big see you later, the Melbourne Inga like he used to do. He saw it at Radford, he just, the see you later. But the pace, what he showed, and the confidence, yeah, great to see. Great
can
to see
him going
the distance.
Did Eddie have a few hundred on Warrington or what? Because he sounded so disappointed when Hall scored that try. He genuinely was like, "Who's that? Oh, Ryan Hall. Oh, he's broken away. Oh, Ryan Hall scored." They were like, "Come on, that was like the try of the season so far."
Who's that?
Get excited, Eddie. Eddie on the telly.
Oh, what?
I like Eddie, but he just seemed really,
really
disappointed.
He's a Warrington fan, isn't he? He's a Warrington fan, isn't he?
Give us a chance, Eddie.
Yeah, he's a Warrington.
There's quite a few of us don't want Leeds to win, but when we're on the radio,
come on,
it's
a bit harsh. Bit harsh.
Come on.
At Leeds, before I was happy. Stephen says Leeds controlled the game perfectly and really got out of second gear.
If they'd have lost on Thursday, that would have been robbery, wouldn't it? Absolute robbery.
But I tell you what, for Warrington's plushes and all, I tell you what, Daryl Clark seemed to get back to his best as well. Some good runs from Dummy Half from there, and hopefully, you know, he played a lot of minutes as well. So, you know, Pricey, you know, give him that role, as I mentioned before the season kicked off. Watch him how he played at Cask, give him that responsibility and let him express himself.
Disappointed that Declan Patton only got the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, very disappointed. I think this, you know, again, Pricey, same at Rick Stone at Huddersfield, doesn't know what his half-back partnership from there, and very disappointed I was.
No, I think he does know what his half-back partnership is, it just doesn't involve Declan Patton.
No.
The better that Daryl Clark plays, the less game time Declan Patton's
going to
get.
Well, let me tell you this then. If Declan Patton's not playing at Warrington, this is a player who Hulk and Rovers should be signing, not journeyman, a quality halfback.
They're not going to let him out, are they? They've got two good halfbacks. Kevin Brown again went off with a big problem.
He's ready for first team football. Go knocking on the door and say, "I want away." He'll do a great job with Maguire at Hulk and Rovers. Not the journeyman. Get quality youngsters in. Patton could do a great job for Hulk here.
Kevin Brown looked well on Friday at Saints. He was working for them lot we don't mention. Enjoying his meal deal crisps at halftime. I was in a chat with Andrew Henderson. Yeah, looked in a good situation. Andy says, did Leeds just win because of Chris Hill going off?
I don't think it helped.
No, it
affected the rotation at the end of the game for Warrington because they had one less man on the bench. But Chris Hill could have been injured. Far more importantly, he was with his good lady at the birthday.
I'll tell you what as well. We mentioned the Ryan Atkins saga. What was Benny Westwood doing taking a driving with 5 seconds to go? What was he doing there at first man anyway? I know there's not a lot between these, you know, with the donkeys and this sort of thing, but at the end of the day, what was he stood there for anyway? Did not realise there was only 5 seconds to go. This is where the communication comes on the halfbacks. Get yourself out of there, we want the ball, because they had an overlap, Warrington, on that left hand side, and about three-man overlap.
At the very least, you'd have put up a Hail Mary kick, wouldn't you?
So I would imagine Benny Westwood would have had some harsh words as well.
God, just gone in there, here and out the other. We've been all right with Ben. Carly says, because you haven't mentioned us yet, how do you think Hull FC got on Thursday? And do you think this faffing about in Australia will be detrimental?
Yes.
While we're at it, what are we hoping to gain from it, have no issue with them going if it doesn't impact the season, but just wondering why. Cash.
Moolah. Dollar. Wedge.
Simple answer.
Money.
Another kit to sell.
Buns.
Ka-ching. Yep. Oh, by the way, Leeds is away kit. Get rid of it. Dreadful.
Yeah. Simple answer. Money. And is it going to have an effect on them? Yes, it will for maybe, I don't know, for 2 or 3 weeks after they get back and what have you. So, yeah, it'll have an effect. Simple as that. But they're doing it for money. There's the answer.
34 points without reply is impressive.
Yeah.
I think Lee Radford was a bit disappointed that they were down at half-time, but they certainly hit back in the appropriate manner. And again, I'm only going on the highlights that we've seen, that Mark Snead started the season in great fashion. He was pulling all the strings. Talanoa, 3 tries out wide on the back of that. Then, I think we all think that Hull will be in pole position for at least one of the competitions this year. My only reservation about going to Australia is, what is the plan? You know, when the NFL decided that they were going to take games to new markets, new being Australia, but Brand Wigan and Brand Hull don't have a lot of supporters over there. They're going to a culture that knows rugby league, so they're hoping, I think, to pick up neutral fans and sponsors and commercial partners. But how does it benefit Super League? Are we going to have a game every year that's taken abroad? Or is this just a one-off because Wigan and Hull can make money out of it? In which case, I don't know why we're doing it. But the interesting thing will be to see how many Australian fans will turn up.
Do you think the Hearns will be looking at this and say, hold on, if the you just mentioned there, Phil, you'll see what the crowds are. We're looking at maybe getting involved in rugby league. These could be events. Because Sean Wayne's mentioned in the League Express today and saying, yeah, Wigan, they're loving going out there. But Sean says, I would have liked to have stayed for another game. So do you think the Hearns will be looking at this?
Look, Wigan and Hull are clearly making money that they feel they can't make in this country.
Correct.
So no one can criticise them for doing that.
Correct.
Is that a long-term option? I would suggest probably not, but they've done it in the short term. Wigan, remember, took a game to London, and you pointed this out, Phil. They said they were going to do it. They've never done it since, so... I don't know. Is it just a quick fix to get some money in? I don't know.
Yes, I think that is. And I don't think the same club could do it every year because they're denying the core home support a game.
Yeah.
So to give them notice and for 2,000 or 3,000 to think this is a really viable chance to go to Australia and see our team, I can see that as a one-off. I'm just saying, will the concept be repeated next year? Will it be Warrington, St Helens in New York? Or, you know, will we be going back to Wollongong with Castleford and Wakefield? What is the plan for the sport? Or is it just a one-off because these two clubs have decided that they're going to take a fixture?
Yeah, I think it's just that. I don't think there's any long-term planning in it. I think they've taken it into their own hands. And I think they may regret it. It's the game the week after the friendly. I just do not see the point in that.
And
you'd have to... Sorry to jump in, but you'd have to say, if they both get spanked, what is the purpose?
I think the purpose of that is the sponsorship they've got is from the government of New South Wales. They want the Wigan and Hull fans in Sydney for a week, spending their money. To do that, you've got to give them a second game. And I sort of get that. And the NRL clubs want to play those games because it's the warm-up to their season. And rather than having a match, you know, we've seen games in this pre-season where we're saying, yeah, why are two teams that are going to be playing each other every week, playing each other in a friendly? Well, Souths and St George were a good hit out against a tuned Super League team and a potentially marketable event as a double header. So I can sort of see that. It's just, where do we go from here? We can't get the NRL to agree to put three teams in the World Club Challenge officially, but apparently we can get two of them playing Super League clubs because it suits them in Australia. I'd give the World Club Series concept to the Hearns. Definitely.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest.
In Dubai somewhere?
Anywhere. Wherever they think they can make money.
As I've said this for the last few months now. I've said it actually over the last couple of years about the World Club Challenge. It should be a money-making event.
Yeah.
If you play it in Dubai to no one watching, then you go there. If that's where the money is, $2 million, whatever, that's where it goes. You need to bring more money into the sport, and that's what they need to do. And I think if you say to the Hearn family, right, we're not giving you rugby league, but you can have this game, best two
for
teams
5 years
in the world, in effect. You can play it where you want, but we want a million or whatever out of the game, and the sort of the Aussies, you can kick whatever's left. Let's see what they can do. Let's see. There's a lot of people going, oh, rubbish. Well, how do we know? Because let's be fair, we've had a long time doing it ourselves and we're not doing very well at it, are we?
This is the thing, is it, when people say, oh, we need someone who loves rugby league in charge. Well, Nigel would love rugby league and you all slagged him off all the time. It's like the same theory. Leeds United fans want a bloody ex-player as their manager because they're idiots. It doesn't mean an ex-player is going to be any good as a manager.
You're not getting out of the building.
It's the same at Wakefield.
Don't worry about that. We're not the big hairy one with a big beard.
It's the same at Wakefield every time someone gets the sack away from it. Oh, bring in Jason Demetra. Well, why is he the answer? Just because he used to play and everyone loves him? Or Willie Poaching? You've got to have the best person for the job, whether they love rugby league or not. If we got, say, I don't know, the head of the NFL or the head of the NRL or an actual successful sports body to come and run the RFL, which they're not going to do, obviously, but a comparative thing, then of course they should be, whether they have any interest in rugby league, whether they can point out where Dewsbury is on a map, it doesn't matter, as long as they can do the best for the
sport. There's two potential problems here. One is, obviously, and I think the RFL, is my understanding, have made a rod for their own back here, because it's come out that they've paid off, or allegedly they've paid off Nigel Wood.
And Roger Draper.
And reportedly they've paid off Roger Draper. Yet they've both been allowed to say, well, we're leaving. Well, no, they've clearly been pushed. You don't get paid off unless you've been pushed. So they've been pushed. So why have we allowed... Again, it's another mismanagement of a situation. If a sport come out and said, actually, we need to go in a different direction because it's not working, we need to bring someone better in, therefore we're getting rid and they'll be paid off. That's how business works. So that we can't argue that Nigel's been paid. It's not to do with us what he's been paid off. He's been paid off. Under the terms of his agreement or whatever, he's been paid off. Fair play to him, that's his lookout. Same for Roger Draper. But why have we made it look like, well, are they moving on, so it's all nice? No, it's not. It's business. It needs to be done properly. There's also the belief that just because the Super League clubs are going to take over automatically means they're going to make a success of things. There is no guarantee about that. All right, so that's one point I've got to make. And the other one is the RFL scared of bringing, genuinely bringing, someone who is just a ruthless businessman in, because he might just go, hang on, this is absolute rubbish. That needs to go, that needs to go, that needs to go, and you need to get rid of them. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Clean sleep. And all of a sudden, I'm not saying jobs for the boy, but all of a sudden, there are a lot of people out of work. It seems to me, I'm always of the opinion, right, when a manager gets sacked at football, his assistant manager should not be allowed to have the job. Because if his assistant manager's got so many different ideas to the manager, then what's he been doing for the last however long he's been the manager? So therefore, Ralph Rimmer just automatically, it seems, assuming control. No, no, he was there with the other guy, therefore he should go as well. And this is when it comes. If we've got rid of Nigel, then I'm sorry, but it should have been, I'm sorry, that's it, you're all going.
I think the issue in the short term is a shortage of money. Yes, we need to look at the television deal when it's renewed in 4 years, and we need people involved in the sport that understand how television works. And I would venture to suggest that most of the promotions that they've done, the Hearns certainly do that, and they have a very close relationship with multiple broadcasters, which is something that we don't. I think the other thing is people are getting mixed up by saying the Hearns will want total control. I don't think they do. I think they'll only be interested in where they feel they can make money, and they can make money in events. So if you were to say to them, we have a couple of properties here that have stalled a little bit, we think that they're good ideas, we think they've got promotional potential, but we haven't got the expertise to actually exploit them to their full advantage. One of them is the World Club Challenge. The Aussies will only really get involved if you guarantee them a certain amount of money that we can't, because we're asking our clubs to pay their fees, and the clubs are looking after themselves. They shouldn't have to pay £150,000 to an opponent to come over. But the NRL will come on board if there is money guaranteed for the clubs. And you have a proven track record of developing new markets. So you've taken snooker to China. You know, you've taken darts to the far, to Europe. You know, was it Dublin that the Darts Premier League kicked off at? New audiences have been attracted to the sports that you promote. And I think that's the key word, not own, but promote. So if we give you an event that you could perhaps take the World Club Challenge to Qatar, for example, because they're supposedly staging a Football World Cup in 2022, they want to test out their facilities. They would be keen to put money into rugby league if the event they were getting was billed as a world-class event. So you'd give them that. And again, I think the Magic Weekend, as it is, as for 2 points in a league system that skews that league system, has possibly run its course. But a weekend where you've got all the teams in one place and a broadcaster that loves it, for you to give that to an entrepreneur, I think they could make something of that. Now, if for that weekend and that weekend only, they said there's one player in each team that's playing in a gold shirt, and if he scores a try, it's double points, I don't see why we'd object to that. It's not cheapening the sport. It's making money on the back of it's an event.
Well, I like Newcastle Magic Weekend, think it's great, but, and this is again another question I would ask of the RFL, we never get any gate receipts, or we never get any knowledge of how much money it's made or how many tickets we've actually given away. I like it. I think the aim should be this year is to sell it out, or certainly have it on Saturday so that you cannot get a ticket for love nor money. You've got to buy it or you're not going. But we don't seem to do that. I think the Magic Weekend should stay. I think we should have two of them, and I think the clubs should forfeit one fixture. And I think you do it on a rotational basis. So, yeah, sometimes it would be your biggest game. You get recompensed by the money that you make at the gate. But do we actually make enough money for it to be justified?
But again, though, Mark, as I mentioned, and a great point again by Phil, but you mentioned there, this guy comes in, this businessman comes in, and he says, right, he's got to be ruthless, he's got to do A, B, C and D. He's not going to be allowed to, because the clubs who dominate the game, and they have done, and also to the Rugby Football League Council, by all accounts, they all have a vote. Situation is quite simple. Before this man comes in, he's told, this stays, this stays, this stays. After that,
My point.
This is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
for the boys,
this is what I'm saying, yeah. So it's not going to change. So it'll be a matter of A, B, C and D stays, come up with some fresh ideas, and we'll listen to it. That's why we're not going to move forward.
Well, Roger Draper told us 2 years ago, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Nothing's happened.
No, because they're not allowed to. That's the big problem. It's not going to change unless, as you've mentioned before, and it's a great suggestion, and the only way the game is going to move forward is somebody is allowed to change it. But unfortunately, mate, it ain't going to happen.
Well, maybe this Wigan going away and Hull going away is the first step.
Let's hope so, because we keep harping on about it. We've got a great product. It's the greatest game of all. But do we do ourselves justice? No, we don't. We've just seen all the marketing coming up to the new season.
Banging the desk.
Well, I'm getting frustrated again, sorry. But again, it's just been pathetic, hasn't it? We all know what we've got. Everybody knows a great product what we've got. Everybody knows the skills what we've got, the big hits, the athletes what we have. You know, but as I say, do ourselves justice. No, we don't.
I think the game on Thursday night, if you were a neutral fan tuning in even for the first time and you watched the commitment, the skill, the bravery, the physicality of that game between Warrington and Leeds as an opening game. I mean, you know, let's not forget this
is... there were 10,000, what was it, 10,000 people there?
Yeah, on a Thursday night, that's not bad. But I'm saying if you were...
Are you happy with that? It's not sold out, opening day of the season?
Yeah, it's a Thursday night. I mean, how long did it take you to get back on the M62? We were taken off it at least three times. It was just a nightmare not getting back till sort of 1 o'clock in the morning. So
yeah,
I can understand.
Hold on, 1,000 leads for it, maybe 1,500. Yeah. Great support, by the way. But that's only 1,500 people. The rest of them live in Warrington.
But it might have been 3,000 if they'd have felt it wasn't Thursday night.
Where are the rest of the Warrington fans then?
Well, I think if you look historically at Warrington's attendances, that's not bad. They had a really poor year last year. And people, I think, will be waiting to see how they go this year. So I don't think on a Thursday night 11,000 is a bad attendance. I think it's something to build on for Warrington, absolutely. But so if you were a neutral to that, like a lot of people were this weekend coming to the Super Bowl, and you saw that quality of entertainment for 80 minutes, and you then felt that there was going to be a campaign that was going to promote some of the people that you'd seen, so you'd actually get to know a bit more about who they were and who the stars were coming up and who the established players were, then I think that's where somebody who can promote the sport needs to come in. That's where we need help. And there's no point the club saying or whoever governs the game saying, we don't want to speak to the Hearns because they want to change anything. We need people to recognise our stars, and they don't. And the one thing that they have as their track record, we all know the nicknames of the darts players. They turn people into stars.
And of course, we have that great opportunity once a week on national television for people to see the stars of rugby league at 11:30 on a Monday, but only in the north. I'd love to know, because we found out last week that they're paying £211.5 million to show football highlights, which everyone's already seen on the internet, a year or whatever it is. How much do they pay for the Challenge Cup and the Super League highlights?
And that's the question.
They must pay about £5 for the Super League highlights.
I've said this and I've said it to the people there. I don't think they pay anything for it. I think they get given it like it's they're doing us some kind of favour. And that's another
thing.
That's
the problem. We think they are.
Until the sport realises they ain't doing us a favour. It's on at 7 o'clock on a Monday night, they're doing us a favour. When it's on at 11:30 in the north, they ain't doing anyone a favour.
I know people think this is my personal bugbear, and it is. But they scheduled their season preview on national radio at the same time as two matches were being played.
One of which they were commentating.
Before that, they had an hour and a half preview of the Six Nations. I'm not saying they shouldn't preview the Six Nations. It's a big international event. I may think it's a lot of crap, but it doesn't matter. They could have done it then and put the Six Nations on when the rugby league was on.
Here's another thing.
Idiots.
We're told that the BN Sports deal, which films Catalan's home games and beams them back to Sky, creates no money for the Super League competition. That this new regime of the chairman or the owners who are doing a value analysis of everything in the sport, there's a problem with what Catalan bring because there isn't a television deal attached to them. And the issue is the BN deal is purely virtually a contra with Sky, so the clubs get nothing out of it. But we've just signed up a new 2-year deal, a 1-year deal, with BN. Even though we don't know what the structure is going to be in 2019, but they won't tell us how much it's worth, and yet we know it's worth nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Nigel's been on. Yeah. BBC bashing.
What, Nigel?
Surprise it took an hour. Nigel, I'm not being rude, right? It's every week we mention it, you go,
Let me say this. Other BBC local radio stations bang on about how they're great about rugby league. And you know what? Sometimes they are. They will not do rugby league every week because Leeds United have done something. Someone's farted at Ellen Road and they'll give you a special about the programme. And they say, oh, we love rugby league. Where's their coverage tonight? They're not talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, we're
fair
here
enough,
every week.
That is. We're asking questions, Nigel. We're asking questions.
It's nothing. Nothing changes. Everything's the same. This problem.
This is the problem.
Well, and again, we're talking in a circular fashion. But you go back to the Hearns. They do already have a relationship with ITV4. It might be that they've seen that there needs to be a balance for their sport and for the personalities within their sport to have a lot of money coming in on a subscription basis, but some exposure on a terrestrial basis. And they've got a balance, so you can get to see Michael Van Gerwen on ITV4. We don't have that.
Right now, on Channel 5, they're showing highlights of the Anglo-Welsh Cup, which is the very bottom level rugby union competition. Very bottom level rugby union competition. It's on Channel 5 right now.
But the RFU and the Rugby Union International authorities are clever enough to pay for programmes like that. We don't have the money.
We can't even get our broadcast partner to put stuff on at peak times.
Mm-hmm. Or on the telly.
Or on promotions.
The Super League show preview was online. It wasn't on telly. Ours are online.
You mentioned therefore we don't get the money. We have the product. Why don't we have the money?
Yeah.
Ridiculous, isn't it? Ridiculous.
So why...
For all these people defending it how it is now, you're part of the problem, in my opinion, because there's a...
There are lots of great people.
You always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got, and we're always getting what we've always got, and until people question it and come up with different ways...
There are lots of great people who work at the BBC, at Merseyside, yes. Manchester, yeah, Leeds,
exactly.
Wherever.
Exactly.
But and on the TV and on Five Live and whatever, they are let down by the actual big organisation which screws our sport over in favour of whatever else.
We speak to those people as well, Nigel, and a lot of them share our concerns.
I also think that we're naive if we think that the Hearns can't see potential in this sport. We did an interview in 4020 in... Available in all
good
news agents.
Can't do that on the BBC.
In 2013 with Barry Hearn. And there was limited, if no interest. Happy to do an article for you, but we've no intention of getting involved in the sport. What Eddie Hearn is saying now is he does have an interest in getting involved in the sport because he can see the value of the supporters, which we should again be, you know, we shouldn't be stepping back and saying, oh, no, we don't want to get into bed with somebody like that. He's seen a commercial value in the sport, with the number of people that watch it, with its demographic, all the things that we think are limiting, he sees as a positive. Now, he only sees that as a positive because he can make money out of it. I think sport's now a business, unless something's changed. Why, as a business, as any business, as a, you know, a fishmonger's, would you not talk to somebody who says, I think I can enhance the amount of income coming into your shop?
And as we always say, the sad reality is the... Players, if you went out into the street somewhere in the middle of England where they don't have rugby league and said, name some rugby league players, they'd say Martin Afire, Ellery Hanley, Scully, Jonathan Davies. Yeah. You know,
why is Tony Ray still doing the coverage on Sky on a Sunday night, the roundup coverage?
I don't know.
Felix London.
Yeah, exactly.
Nigel because said, we haven't got why not criticise Sky? They're stagnating. Can't argue, but there's a difference between Sky and the BBC. Sky have put a actual confirmed very big large van load of money into the sport.
It goes, it reverses into Red Hall, and pours out.
Like an Arctic.
Nigel used to jump into the pound coins like Scrooge McDuck at the start of DuckTales.
Yeah.
Look at all this money.
So they've paid. So if their coverage is poor, that's for them. They've got 4 years, they've paid for the rights. They could say tomorrow, well, you've had your money, we're not even going to put it on the telly.
It's going to be a great
That's
display.
What they could do. You've still got the money.
They did with Speedway, was it?
Yeah,
Speedway's gone. And by the way, I tell you what, people who say, oh, I wish we went to BT, I get it free. Some of those people on there. Not some of the ones I like. Some of the presenters, not the pundits, the presenters.
Well, it's all about money. Money talks, I'm afraid. People have an opinion on this show. A lot don't like it, a lot do like it. That's fine. We divide opinion, we know that.
There's a lot of things I don't like, I just pick my targets.
And we know that Derek Beaumont on Twitter this weekend said he wouldn't be interested in getting the Hearns involved.
Yeah,
that's fine, but I reckon if somebody came to AB Sundex and said, just for a chat and a coffee, I reckon I could expand your markets three times. I will be taking some of the income that we generate, but you'll be better off.
Yeah.
He at least would speak to them.
A different Nigel before we bore Scoey too much. So she doesn't want the Hearns anywhere near the game. RFL strategy and marketing need sorting. Yes, but we do not need stars. We do need stars. Pay-per-view. We're not going to have pay-per-view.
Can I?
Or an elite game.
On stars, haven't mentioned it yet, but arguably the most important game of the weekend was yesterday.
Yes.
At the Asics Stadium in Victoria Park in Warrington, that was full. Stand that holds over 1,000, couldn't get a seat.
1,500, the reported figure.
30,000.
Well, there were people standing at the back as well. A brilliant occasion in its own right. An absolutely, totally competitive, fantastic, inspiring match between the physical disability teams of Warrington and Leeds. A one-off to start with, to test the market. There were people from the RFL and other clubs there that I think are going to form teams. And the idea is that although Leeds and Warrington will play in a return match in early May, that at some point we'll have enough teams to maybe have a little league. But also in the towns of Warrington and Leeds to start clubs playing disability rugby league amongst each other. Brilliant occasion. No hint of tokenism. Fantastic. The guys that played, superheroes. But that game got an inordinate amount of publicity and interest. And don't forget financial backing, because two solicitors' firms came forward, one to support Warrington and one to support Leeds, because Adam Hills and Alex Brooker were playing. They took it incredibly seriously. Hills can play, played until he was 15. Alex Brooker had never played before and absolutely got involved, very nearly scored a try down the touchline, but couldn't get over, even with his disability, the amount of effort that you need to play rugby league, and just said, when can I play again? I need to go to a gym and get fit, but I've got to play again. But the interest in that game was inordinate, because it was mentioned on Channel 4 on Friday night, because the two of them were building up to it. There was a documentary crew there. They'd both done video inserts. Of the 1,500 people that were there, most of them had an autograph or a selfie with those two people afterwards. Stars sell the sport. We need celebrity endorsement. We've got the stars. We've seen some young kids perform this week who are exceptional. Tom Johnson would be at the top of the list maybe this week. Nobody other than us knows who he is. And if the Hearns could do that, I'd give them some control. Tom Johnson deserves it.
Leeds won.
They did.
Again. They win it everything, don't they?
It's
they
did.
And let it not be forgotten that you're allowed two able-bodied players, and Warrington to have Sean Briscoe and Toa Coe Love. Leeds didn't choose any because they had enough players with a physical disability to give them all a chance to play. But they belted each other. It was fantastic.
Simon Brown is probably the most famous
Simon
person
played.
We've heard. That, you know, it was a war veteran.
Yeah.
And
Simon played
unbelievable injuries
up to the age of 20. He'd played amateur rugby league, but he's now 40, and because of all the trauma he's gone through, could not wait to get back out on the field. Scored the winning try, but led his team. There was a whole range of people in both teams with varying different physical and mental disabilities, some of whom had been previous rugby players and were just a joy to be back involved in the sport. Some of them had never played before. But Simon was brilliant at bringing that Leeds team together. That's one of the reasons why they won.
Very good.
Scoey, you haven't talked about Keighley yet, and we haven't talked about anything about League One yet. So, Keighley, big win over the Leeds.
Hold on, why have you just changed? Is that just to get the legend involved?
No, I just thought we'd finish on about it. About 30,000 people apparently watched the clips of Adam Hill and Alex Brooker. So
that's how you sell the sport.
You get good celebrities and celebrities people like as well.
And jump in before we go on to Keighley mode. Vinti said, Robbie, Thursday nights, Radio Merseyside, 6 till 7, Try Time with Ray Friends, etc. every week and online. Great. As we said, there are great people that work within the organisation, and fair play to Radio Merseyside. They put it on at a prime time that's going to attract interest in the game. That's all we ask as unified.
He was
business.
In superb form on Friday night at St Helens, was Ray.
Was he?
Yeah. Because Harvey Wiles gave me a lift over there. Because Cass haven't won there since the 1800s, I think. Got a really bad record. And he asked Ray, you know, did you ever pay any attention to those kind of things? No. Just go out on the pitch.
Legend. Leeds got hammered anyway at the weekend, didn't they?
Well, it's just divided loyalty.
Down at Lawcombe Lane.
Cougar Park. It's old Lawcombe Lane, Cougar Park. I know, but fair play to Leeds. It was Brendan Rowley's testimonial game, 10 years. It was a good point sent to Brendan, because he comes from Queensland, and they said, I'll tell you what, you deserve a bloody testimonial coming to Keighley for 10 years. He's swapping Queensland for Keighley, but fair play to him. No, great turnout. 1,266 supporters. The sponsors, the suite from there, chock-a-block, 160 people there, different businesses. So, I addressed all the businesses from there, want to get involved.
From where?
In Keighley.
From where?
In Keighley. One of them all in Keighley. But it was a great day for Brendan. Made a few quid for him. Good victory for Keighley, just what we needed. The last three performances in pre-season not been very good.
Bulls, is it next week?
Yeah, we play the Bulls next week, and then we start at home against Workington. But Leeds only brought a young side, but from our point of view, 50-pointer, so it's good confidence booster with a kicking off in 2 weeks' time. But, yeah, great turnout for Brendan, and good performance from the lads. Lingard was very happy.
He's got an interview in the paper, and he's talking about consistency. He's clearly been spending too much time with you.
Well, next week...
And, by the way, it was 50 points to 12, which says to me you were in the bar and missed the last try.
Well, actually, it was a little bit cold again, so I might have missed the last try. I might have been in there
And they did score last as well, so you had gone in the bar, hadn't you?
I was preparing me after match speeches, but I would imagine Lingard's comments next week will be, yeah, we play with vision and awareness.
What's the average crowd at Keighley?
Last year, I think we was getting between 500 and 700, to be honest.
By having Leeds, I'm going back to, again, the Coventry scenario when Leeds went down another couple of weeks. They've almost doubled the crowd.
Mm.
Because partly Leeds fans will have gone, but mainly because it's a name that you can promote.
Should we be
looking at Leeds, Wigan, Warrington, St Helens, whoever, mandatorily fielding their reserve teams in League One? Would you like three or four games a year that you were playing a Super League name to market to business?
But Leeds have a reserve team,
No, they don't at the moment. I'm proposing this.
You've overlooked the fact there, Phil, actually. The 1,200 turned up to see Scoy. No one was actually bothered about the game.
Right.
Oh, thank you for the compliment. Thank you. Well, for sure, the businesses who may be thinking just on the edge, I don't want to get involved. Hey, listen, come and enjoy. Come and enjoy the experience.
What an afternoon with you?
Absolutely.
Jeez.
No, and quality rugby league.
All right. What about quality rugby league and we don't have to see you?
It's a bit harsh.
See, Andy said we should...
I'm just trying to add value to you.
You'll be seeing me from there 12 o'clock until you buy me the last pint.
Yeah.
Andy said we should talk about more than just Super League. Championship and League One exist. He said, well, League One hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
By the way,
for anyone who goes to Keighley, if you stand near the bar, you won't see Scorry because you never crosses Andy.
Listen. When we went there last year, you had super glue in your pants. You did not move, did you?
I tell you what, they were there
yesterday as well. Gary Morby, ex-Keighley Great Leeds as well, played at Leeds. And also Carl Harrison, Carl. Carl was there and Graham Hallis. And Gary, trainer of Henry Wharton. He was Gary, what's his surname? Forgot his surname. He was there in the audience from there. Say, Gary Harrington, very respectful of Keighley, and coming over to support the testimony there. But yeah, big Carl. And I say, he had some harsh words to say about the game, to be honest with you, but he's a character. His big Ryan on Graham Hallis. Yeah, he's still living off that moment, his Graham, when he scored that length of the field try against Illawarra.
No one's ever done that at
Wollongong in 1992. No. You never hear me reminiscing about my career, do you? Let's move on.
Have you been spotted on the bus? Did you go on the bus to Keighley on the weekend?
You
should have sent a picture, Graham.
It's
going on the 62.
Hold on. I went to the train station and I get the train over to Keighley because it's far easier. It's only 25 minutes. So when I get there, pays with my tickets. Oh, by the way, there's no trains. Sorry, what? No train. And I got dropped off. My daughter dropped me off, so I couldn't get back to my house to drive. She says, it's a bus. I went, well, I've got to be there for 12:30. Oh, well, it only takes an hour. All right, anyway, yeah, so he were bus travel from the train station. So we stopped off at Shipley, stopped off at Saltaire, stopped off at Bingley, and then getting the bus back. So I couldn't get there any other way because I couldn't get to my car. So why are you spotting me on the bus?
Graham. Sources.
Oh, sources. Sorry,
Graham.
Oh, yeah, Graham. Yeah, Leeds. Yeah, Graham. It'd be Graham and Jane. Yeah, they were out in Australia. Yeah, Leeds fans. Yeah.
Robert says you'll be claiming travel expenses.
Why not?
He's like an MP. He's like an MP. He's just going,
what, peas, travel.
A bit.
Like an MP.
But yeah,
working for the greater good.
It was on the bus yesterday. I wasn't too happy when I was told. But anyway, it's the only way I could get there.
Man, you have a few sherbets then, can't you?
Well, that's why I'm getting the train, you know, because with the hospitality, I've got to look after after sponsoring this sort of thing. And if they want to buy the legend half a pint, then I'll participate.
Talking of the championship.
Yes.
Shout out for London.
Oh,
we're not taking any notice of the league table because it's 1 week.
However,
but the most important thing is the number of young London players that were given a chance yesterday, and that James Meadows on his debut, a young kid brought in from the under-19s, who Danny Ward coached last year, man of the match, scored the opening try. Will Davis scored a try. Saw the highlights, looked a very athletic team, very quick. Kieran Dixon back to his best. Alex Walker out the back looking good.
Who did the beat again, Phil?
I think they beat the team who's going to finish above them.
Oh, who would that be? Lee?
No, I think from Cumbria. Somebody who's got...
Carlisle. Carlisle Border Raiders.
A coach that a pundit admires.
Listen, Barrow, this stuff. Barrow, is that what you're saying?
Listen, I don't do favouritism. I'm one for sure. London have got to go to Barrow. I'll leave it at that. Move on.
Tony, how you want to move on certain things and not others, isn't it?
No, I'll discuss anything. But yeah, good win by London. Well done, Danny Ward. He's his first one as head coach from there. Yeah, well done. Well done, London. And I say, as Phil Kaplan says, as Mark Wilson says, which is all right, you can't take any notice of the league table after one game.
London at Dewsbury this week. Dewsbury got off to a winning start, of course, against Sheffield, which was good.
Yeah.
Sheffield Tiger Saints, as they're called. Yeah.
Sheffield all sorts.
Yeah. By the way, if you're wondering about Scully's phone, he doesn't know how he works and he can't turn the sound.
Is that
Scully's phone?
Yeah.
That pinging noise.
Right, well, he's fined £5 every time it goes off, so if you've got Scully's number, ring him up.
Tony's asking if you'll be at Keighley for the reserves versus Halifax on Wednesdays. Busy on Wednesdays.
No, I'm busy Wednesdays.
He is, actually.
I am busy, yeah.
Nicholas says, tell us about the partnership, sponsorship between Keighley and the Rugby League Canada. We know the Canadian Amateur League are sponsoring the Keighley Coach, but what else do you know, Scully?
Not a lot, clearly. Move on.
He didn't meet them at the bar, so he doesn't know.
Actually, a representative from Rugby League Canada was at the sponsors night, what we had around about 4 weeks ago, so, they're heavily involved with the club.
Yeah. Are you going to Canada?
Right?
Yeah,
it's
reciprocal agreement, and want to see how they do things. Obviously, and make sure you're maximising the opportunities available to you at Keighley.
I'm always prepared to listen and learn.
Very good. They'll ring you up tomorrow.
The Rugby League Canada spend half the year here and then half in Canada, or is that just
move on? Chris wants to know: do we think Fev can challenge for top spot?
I put them second in predictions. Yeah. Because I thought Toronto might have a...
20 points to 4 yesterday over facts.
Rudyard, the star man, led to believe, reports there. So, yeah, he's getting to play in the right way a little bit. He's Duffy from there. So, good start from Feverson.
I think he was really pleased with the only conceding 4. And that says a marker, I think. They'll be there or thereabouts, absolutely no question. It's a funny table at the moment, because although we take absolutely nothing out of 1 week... London to lose Toronto, the top three. Who would have thought that not long ago?
Are we going to see any surprises in League One this year? Obviously, Bradford are expected to kind of walk away.
It's going to be like the Championship. It's going to be very competitive. It is very competitive. Certainly amongst the top 6 or 7 sides.
I like the look of York. I think James Ford is a great young coach. Yeah. And when you look at York this time last year, a fixture list came out, they weren't even in it. Now I think they're genuine contenders for being up there, even though they have sold Jake Butler Fanning for a profit.
Well, I'm sure it'll go back into the club
and they'll reinvest and
get someone from somewhere else.
Dave says, what about taking the Magic Weekend to North America? 6 or 7 games in New York or Boston could be great, trip for those who can afford it, and cracking exposure to a potential target market.
Dave, I'm sure if you turn around at Super League clubs and went, right, here's £250,000 quid each, we're all off to Boston in January or whenever it is, they would go.
They'd say when?
Yeah, they would go.
So when?
And I think you do something like that with 2 or 3 years' notice, so that people can save up for it. And it shows that you are planning towards it. And irrespective of who the teams are, it's the concept that's doing that.
Mm. But Phil, we keep talking about planning. We keep talking about marketing. Yeah, yeah. We don't know what we're doing end of this season. We don't know what we're doing for 2019. We all know, Phil, and also as well, Mark and Richie and all. We've just had a World Cup. Where's the international calendar coming out? Do the lads know they're going to be playing in Saskatchewan?
We were told by Ralph at the end of January we'd know if we were playing in Denver.
Ninth World Cup. Emerging Nations World Cup this year.
Why are we so secretive? Why are we not telling people what a great product we've got?
Why are IMG taking the organisers of the 2017 World Cup to court, claiming that the agreement never included three games in PNG that presumably they've lost money on, which is materially going to affect potential profits from the World Cup?
Yeah. Just going back to the Championship, I've had a bit of interaction about this, the fixtures this week. Barrow take on Toronto. Oof.
That's all the tellies, everything.
And the week after the play, Lee, so it's going to be north from three. It's going to be north from three.
First coach out in the Championship. No, come on, we're only joking.
Come on, a bit harsh.
Yeah. Barrow against Toronto, Dewsbury London, Featherstone Toulouse.
Looking forward to that one.
Halifax Sheffield, Lee Batley and Swinton Rochdale. That's a big game as well.
And I say, when you come down to our league as well, where we are at with Keith and what have it. They've all got a purpose. You know, they've all got a purpose, so everybody's getting excited about it. We need more crowds in the Championship, don't we? Simple as that.
It is in
League One as well. We need more excitement.
I see Proper Sport broke the news today that Lord Kevin Sinfield will not be standing as the chief executive of the RFL.
Okay. Did he tell the boys that this morning, did he?
He was on early this morning.
Has he written his report yet on the World Cup?
Well, he would have done, but he had to speak to the people on the breakfast show. But he did say it's not a job that he's interested in or will be applying for.
Very good.
So just Ralph then, for the minute.
Yeah. I'll tell you what...
Well, you might be sued.
You know, like in America,
we might as well employ Punch and Judy.
I thought you wanted me to apply for you an RFL media pass.
We might as well employ Punch and Judy.
That was Ralph, by the way.
You know that Donald Trump somehow got elected the president of America. Do you think we could get Scully elected the president of the RFL?
Mm-hmm.
Start a campaign.
Never underestimate the stupidity of the general public.
Thanks, Rich.
That's a ringing endorsement there from his campaign manager.
I don't believe there's a public vote on who gets the job. I don't think who does pick who replace
Ralph. I think.
I don't know.
I think we should put Scope as a non-executive director of the RFL.
You want rid of me? This team?
No, we are. But as you know, in any team, there's weak links, and there's maybe you could open some doors for our team.
I think you and Brian Barlick.
Either that or carry the bags, I don't know.
Well, let me just tell you this. If I was put in charge of the RFL, Mr. Barwick and Mr. Rimmer would be Oski.
You should be on the board.
Punch and Judy would be gone.
Non-executive director.
We've just been
director.
A relationship with the RFL and now that's all gone now.
Won't be doing commentary on any more games.
We're only being honest.
We'll have to sneak in this
game. I have to say, Mr. Rimmer was at the disability game yesterday, to his credit.
I was saying about Lee as well on the telly. I think Nigel was there. I think they showed him at half-time in the box watching the game. Looked like him. I was watching on my mute feed while I was supposed to be working, so...
Okay. You'll see on the Facebook that we have got a prize to give away, Rich. I'll let you read it this time.
Thank you.
There you go, in professional style.
Am I going to get my 6 mushy peas a day? Am I going to get some delivered?
We will ask them.
Today's episode of Proper Sport Rugby League, because that's the name of the programme now.
Yeah, I've remembered
now. We didn't
even
know at this point.
It's a bit like the last tackle when I got the name wrong on the first one, isn't it?
I thought it was Proper Rugby League, but it's Proper Sport Rugby League, because that's the brand. Don't forget that. It's brought to you by Bachelor's Peas, the UK's and Scully's favourite brand of canned peas. Bachelor's Peas are the perfect accompaniment for matchday meals, a great way to get one of your 5 a day and have action... An action-packed season of special offers ahead with signed shirts, tickets to the Magic Weekend, which is in Newcastle, not Boston, the Grand Final and England International Games. Brand new for 2018 is an unmissable promotional pack of Bachelor's Original Mushy, Chip Shop Mushy and Marifat Bigger Peas. From this month until the 1st of June, fans can win a trip to Toronto, Ontario, Canada to watch the Toronto Wolfpack with £1,000 in spending money this week to celebrate teaming up with Super League for the third straight year. Matchers are giving fans the chance to win a signed Castleford Tigers shirt and four tickets to watch the Tigers play Hull FC on the 24th of February. To enter, head to propersport.uk/win and answer the very simple question. The competition closes at 6 p.m. on Sunday, the 11th of February. Terms and conditions apply.
Well done.
Almost got through it all. Almost.
Well done. Well done. We shall see. Right, let's have a look. We've got to do our predictions as well. Apparently, you're in third place on the Wakey Forum prediction competition, Scully.
I don't know what that means. Out of three.
Yeah, there's only two
people.
What
do you mean, Wakey Forum? What's that?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, someone's entered you into it or whatever. I don't know.
I used to post on there, but I don't post on there anymore. It's not like...
Was that your real name? Yeah. Was it assumed one or what?
No, a couple of assumed ones. People know where I was on there.
Okay.
But not like when I write to the League Express.
So anyway, predicted last week, how many did you get right, Mark?
Five.
Five, hour five. Phil?
I think it was six, but it would need to.
No, didn't you wait for Catalans?
No, I didn't.
No,
went
for Widnes. I think that was the one that got me six.
Well, why did you go for Widnes?
Because I thought Widnes would win. Yeah.
No, but why did you go for Widnes?
Because they're injury free. And I felt that Castleman would be underprepared.
They got five.
Yeah. So not a bad effort.
Well, Graham got six.
That's out of seven because I think we all went for Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we?
Graham got six out of six.
I went to Toronto, I think.
Did you? What? He said it with a straight face. I told you you'd be a good MP. He said it with
a straight face. I said Toronto. Paul Rowland's a good friend of mine. I'm sure I went to Toronto.
Yeah, whatever. Well, we're five out of six anyway.
Neil Jukes used to be a friend of you.
Well, there's a lot of people who used to be a friend of ours on this show, I'll tell you now. Yeah. Hey, I didn't tell you anyway, did I? I didn't tell you, lads, last week. I went to Argos. Right, I'm in Argos buying an ironing board cover. That's how I roll.
In your dressing gown?
No, I'm fully clothed, pleased to say.
They don't like it in Bradford.
And the guy behind the till goes, is your name Matt? I went, yeah. Matt Wilson? Yeah. We know, watch the show every week. So there you go. So to our man in Argos who's watching, thanks for your support.
So
it was quite unnerving, but quite flattering at the same time.
You got a discount?
No.
Yes, for it.
And the ironing cover don't even fit anyway, so I've been
Take
robbed, really. Paid a tenner for some of that.
You should always do like I do. Oh, would you like a signed autograph? And then, you know, well, I'll look. So that's what you want to do. Get a signed autograph. Get a photograph of yourself. It's some made up.
They refuse to print them, you know. You know, you take them back and say, this print is distorted or whatever. We haven't printed it out.
Wanted.
Oh, a bit of Right, come on then. We've got 8 minutes left. The listeners are delighted to hear that. So, Huddersfield against Warrington is on Thursday evening.
Interesting one, isn't it? The Giants, well, struggling. Big four players out in Cudjoe, McGilfrey, Simons and
Lawrence.
Lawrence, they've gone from there. Warrington, yeah, they'll be looking to get their season off to a start. I'm going to Wolves here. I think the Wolves will win quite easily. I'm going Warrington by 14.
Yeah, I think Warrington will win. They were solid against Leeds. They didn't give in. They were there at the end. It's new combinations. It will take them a little bit of time to gel, but I just think there's a team every year that starts off with a plethora of injuries and struggles to shake them off, and I'm hoping it isn't, but it looks like it might be Huddersfield at the start of this year, so, yeah, I'll go with Warrington as well.
As Mark's discovered, if you're working at a radio station, there's no pens. I'll get you one in a minute. Why is it being played? Someone asked this earlier. Why is it being played on a Thursday?
Because the football is on Saturday, I understand. I guess that's why it's being moved.
Right. Warrington, anyway.
How many by? You've not said how many.
Do we have to say by?
Yeah,
many?
Of course you do.
14.
Well, no, because we don't know who got them right last week, yeah. So we'll just say who's going to win. So Gary's gone Warrington. Phil's gone Warrington.
By 14.
Right, okay. RSW.
Warrington.
And Mark.
Warrington.
Right. Leeds, Hull KR.
Yeah,
now we are going to put an amount on this one.
Yeah, Danny Maguire will get a great reception. We all know that. But the reception from the Leeds players will be very, very hot. They know what a quality player he is. Unfortunately, not enough quality in this Hull KR to even contemplate getting close to Leeds. This will be a hammering for Hulkeson Rovers. I'm going Leeds by 36.
So Sco has just put off every Hull KR fan from travelling, so that it won't get the 20,000 audience they're hoping for. I just think Leeds need to be in preparation for the game the following week. They need to have everything working in attack and defence. I can't see them losing this one. I think they'll win by 30.
What did you say, legend?
36.
Right. 30. for Phil. Rich?
Ticket sales going well. Some seats still available as well if you fancy going to the game. Leeds by 28.
I'm going to go 34. And I would recommend any Leeds fans wishing to get a close-up of Danny Maguire probably sit behind the post at one end of the ground. You should get good-looking. Come on!
Jimmy Peacock will be falling out with you.
He won't be listening.
Such is life. Wakefield, Salford.
Nothing for Salford. Can't say too much about him because there's nothing there. Again, I feel sorry for Coach Watson. Wakefield in great form. This is going to be hammering for Salford. Wakefield, this is going to be a big score again. I'm going Wakefield by 32.
Matt, we want the competition to be unpredictable. We've virtually agreed on every single game bar one so far over the first 2 weeks, but I can't see Wakefield losing this either. They've just got such a confidence and steel about them, and I take on board what our esteemed friend Mr Carter said about Salford not being as bad as the scoreline suggests, but I just can't see it past Wakefield.
How many?
I'm not clever enough to
say. All right,
say.
Go on then, Rich.
Under the bright lights of Bellevue, the Mobile Rocket Stadium.
Oh, Mobile Rocket, thank you.
Yeah, Mobile Rocket Stadium. People say, why don't you do that light show thing at Bellevue? If they turn them off, they won't be able to turn them back on again.
Game's off, lads! Game's off!
Leave that to your fancy stadium. The bright, dazzling new white shirts of Wakefield will beat Salford by about 26.
26, OK. I'm going higher than Scoey, 32. I'm going higher than that. I think they'll win easily. The Dragons against St Helens.
Yeah, well, they're looking to make it a fortress out of the Catalan Dragons, as they try and do every year. Discipline, a big problem. McNamara want to make sure that they compete at least, because St Helens, too good, too classy, too big, too strong. I'm going Saints quite easily. I'm going Saints by 24.
Don't think it'll be that easy. I think the Dragons will want to put on a display for their fans. They will want to show that it's not the same edition as 2017. So I think there will be greater resolve. They brought Thomas Bosque into the coaching staff as an assistant. I think that'll help. But I do think the way Saints started the season on a firm dry pitch in the south of France, that they'll win.
OK.
So I haven't seen Catalans, but I've heard how bad they were and saw how good Saints were. So Saints by about 12.
Having spent the opening 20 minutes saying how bad the Dragons were, I'm of the opinion that Saints were brilliant at the weekend, might not be as good, Catalan couldn't be any worse. I'm going to go for a Dragons win.
Well, if they're going to start anywhere, it's Fortress.
Got as many as you last week, legend, so button it.
It's Fortress Stade Gilbert.
I made a wonder you're a Bulls fan.
Hull against Wigan.
Well, I reckon this is going to be very, very tasty. Both coaches want to put on a show. They want to put on a show that Super League, yes, is good to watch. And so I reckon these two, there's 2 points available. I reckon these two are going to get ripped in. I reckon there could be a little bit of, maybe a couple of brawls going from there. I reckon these are going to put on a show, these two, both attack-wise, skill-wise, defensive-wise, commitment-wise. But I'm going to go for my black and whites. It's for the Sterling Kenneth Shield. The first one, maybe the last one as well. It all depends on the promotion. I'm going for the black and whites to win by 10.
I think this is the game that Sam Tompkins will want to prove to everyone in the NRL that he can play this game. And having had an injury-free pre-season, I'm going Wigan narrowly.
Is it a ref from the NRL or Super League?
It could be Tim Robey, who saddles both.
If it's an Australian ref, Wigan by 8.
I'm going Wigan as well. I think Wigan will win. Narrowly, though, I don't think they'll be. I'm going it for a 2-point margin of victory. In fact, there's been a drop goal between these a few times. I might even go 1. Right, OK. On to Sunday. Castleford against Widnes.
Well, Widnes were outstanding, weren't they? And I say a fair play to Dennis Betts and his team. And they'll be coming there with plenty of confidence. And Darryl Powell, yeah, very, very disappointed with his Castleford performance. Question the attitude, couldn't see it coming. But a lot of hard work on the training part this week, certainly for the forwards. I reckon the forwards were pathetic. They'll be getting ripped in. The Cas get back to winning ways.
Hurry up, we've only got a minute.
Castleford by 14.
I think Widnes will go there without fear. If they play the way they did this week, then they'll move the ball around. They'll hope to score early and put Castleford under pressure. But I think because it's a long time between drinks for Cas, they'll get turned around by Darryl and they'll win.
Right.
Cas by 18.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm genuinely not
on,
sure.
Have you been on Phil Kaplan's syrup?
Yeah, very nice it was. Me, Rich, and went round the other day and had it for tea. It
was does well, we mush your peas.
Yeah, it was a Wednesday, you were busy apparently, so we couldn't bring you up. Cast narrowly. I don't think it'll be a big win. I'm half tempted, but I'm not going to go for Widnes. So we will see. Hopefully the Dragons win, and then I can't lose because everything else is all the same. You three, all the same. So predictable. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Every minute matters.
Download the podcast. It'll be available in about 20 minutes. Richard is working his magic as we speak. Thanks to Rich. Thanks to Phil. Thanks to Gary. Thanks to you all for listening and getting in touch. That's it. We're back next week.